Condoleezza Rice is in Justin's computer listening to what he's saying.
You know, I could think of worse people than Condi Rice.
That she could go to her computer tomorrow and just type my name in and listen to anything I've ever said into Skype. Good or bad?
Lizard people.
Mostly lizard people. We'll get into lizard people.
I have a love-hate relationship with two-factor authentication. Mostly love. But, you know, it's like a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
As long as you allow me to use Google Authenticator or some third-party authentication app, yeah, I'm A-okay with it. But if you're like Steam and you're like, no, you gotta use our app, then that's a big no-no, sir, because when I used the Steam app, it locked me out of my account, and it took me, like, 2 days to get back into my Steam account.
I don't honestly know how you survived for 48 hours without being able to log into Steam. That would absolutely suck. I'd probably blow my brains out.
Offline mode.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's probably better. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't kill myself before I explore other options.
Yeah, hot offline strats.
Yeah,
right out of the gate. Hey, everybody! It's the Shotcast. We have returned from a brief hiatus, not too long, but we are back to discuss the world, the entertainment medium known as video games.
The world of imagination.
Come with me. So, folks, we like to begin every evening by kicking it around the table just one time and see how everyone's doing. Let us begin, as do we always, with one Justin McFerrin. Sir, how are you? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Been doing the rock climbing gym more, so that's been pretty cool. I've been playing dim video games, as one does. Not been using Skype Messenger.
I get it.
I sense a theme. So,
that's my last one.
Your forearms are completely ripped.
Getting there. I texted my friend who does metalwork a picture of an apparatus to work out your forearm specifically, and it is essentially a rock climbing hold with a screw drilled through it that hooks to a carabiner, and that carabiner hooks to a giant pipe that you can just put normal lifting weights on. You essentially just grip this hold and try and hold it up. As long as it's really hard to work out your forearms. It's a really weird, you have to like pinch things.
I beg to differ. I work out my forearms all the time.
Yep. I was hoping that was a self-pleasure joke.
Uh-huh.
That it is. But yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. I'm definitely getting the advantages of the gemmer starting to show off.
You're getting jacked, ready for the end times.
There you go. Getting balanced. And,
you gotta be able to grip those skinny ledges to get away from the zombies, man. Gotta climb, get some height between you and the biters.
Tell you what, I'm over the zombies. The Walking Dead has killed zombies for me, so yeah. I'm over it. I want the aliens. Specifically,
what did it do that made it die?
Just, you know, it has become the television show to model all horrible like television shows after. Just, you know. Oh, the two main characters are in such peril. I bet they're not going to make it out of this. You know, in the first 10 minutes of the show, it's like, yeah, of course they're going to make it out. You know, it's just so predictable, and it's just, I don't know.
You can only go to the well so many times where it's like, this week on a very special Walking Dead, a main character dies.
It seems like they do this thing now, too, and I don't know if it's the past season and the newest season, where they'll, like, about 30 minutes into the episode, they'll slap in, like a song montage of people doing stuff, and then that just somehow segues into, like, the next scene that they absolutely could not... They just couldn't have figured out a way to segue before. They just, like, were like, oh, we'll just do this montage and just end up at this scene that we couldn't write into before. And then someone did that once and in the writing room, and they were like, oh, my God, you've struck gold. This is how we get out of everything, you know?
It's the ultimate segue. Montage.
Yeah. Just montage it.
Yeah, I gave up on that show about a season ago, where the last episode I saw, it was like on a dock or something, or out in the middle of a junkyard, and there were zombies wearing armor. And I was just like, I think I'm done. I'm good.
That's just some troll, like some, you know, dude who's upset that he can't have the internet anymore is like drugging zombies and then armoring them up and then sending them back out into the world just because he hates everybody. That's how that happens. Just some fucking troll.
He used to be big on 4chan.
Yeah.
According to the coming next week on The Walking Dead, there were some people responsible, but I'll never know. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
I don't actually know whatever happened to, I believe his character was called The Governor.
The Governor, and he...
Yeah, he like that was it. Like season 2, season 3, like I stopped a long time ago on that show. I ran out of time, available time in my schedule to watch that show any further. So,
I still contend there are moments in that first season that are pretty good.
It was good. It was very good.
Yeah.
But
it should have just been a encapsulated thing. It should have been like 2 seasons and done.
Yep. And give me 12 episodes, like British comedy style. Make them all real good, hardcore. Give me like 3 seasons, like Breaking Bad was 3 seasons, or was it 4?
Five, I think.
Was it 5, really?
Jesus. 5 or 6, it went longer than you think.
It's good stuff, too.
Every single goddamn episode of that show was good. Like, it seems shorter, I don't know. Anyway.
So, how are you doing,
that's all
John?
That's up with me.
Yeah.
So... I'm all right. I don't know. There's shit that's been happening in my life that I don't really feel like going into on here. You guys are certainly aware of it, but some depressing things that I had to kind of wrap my brain around. My entire family dealt with some shit and unexpected shit, and we are moving on, and I am playing video games, and I am in a new class, which completely sucks because the entire class is like a fucking group project. God, it's a fucking nightmare. Like, I was looking through the homework today, and it's just one of these. The professor for the class posted a master document that contains all of the assignments for the entire semester, with explanations and everything, which wouldn't be bad, except that it's 73 pages long. And it is written in such a way that you'll be reading, like, I just skipped ahead to, like, assignment 3, just to see kind of what I was in for. And there's sentences in the assignment 3 section that say things like, as discussed previously in this document. Fuck you, I don't want to go digging for that shit. Like, here's week 1. Here's everything you need to know about the assignment for week 1. Do this assignment. Here is week 2. Here's everything you need to know about week 2. Don't, like, make it easier on yourself as the professor by, like, having little cross-reference things in this gigantic document that's impossible to fucking decipher and put all that onus on your students to, like, solve your little fucking puzzle that you've created. I fucking hate that shit.
I want to play a game.
For real, though, right?
Fucking Christ, man. I swear to God. Like, if I die of a heart attack, I'm saying it right here. I am blaming the college that I am going to for that. You guys can go after him for money or whatever after I'm gone. But it's literally that's what's going to cause me to just fucking stroke out is dealing with this bullshit.
Little do you know, you are in the next Saw movie. It's happening to you right now.
It's called Finish Your Degree at Age 43. That's the subtitle.
It rhymes, too.
Saw That's what 12. I like. Not for long. I won't finish that fucker until I'm 44, which happens in a couple weeks. So. Got that to look forward to.
Out the door at 44.
Slow, eternal march to the grave.
Happy, oh, yeah.
Happy Shotcast, everybody.
Yeah. I don't even have feeling in my fingers anymore. Good evening, everyone.
So, in order to not go insane due to life's wonderful, fun things, I've been playing some video games, watching some movies, introducing my son to... he's not real big on watching entire movies that are not cartoons, so I've been forcing the issue and have been finding some traction lately. We watched Apollo 13 the other night, and he got a big kick out of that movie, so...
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Big. No, hit him with big.
Yeah, that's not
bad. I'm telling you. When I was a kid, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And it's fun all the way through for a kid.
Yeah, we did, I mean, this is kind of borderline crossover, but we did Neverending Story a while ago. He dug that, so I'm kind of, we watched The Goonies. He has seen all of the Vacation movies, and they're all like rated R, but I said, fuck it, these movies are hilarious, this kid needs to see these. And so he walks around the house saying things like, Clark, I don't think you're going to find the Grand Canyon on this road. And then he goes into the bathroom and takes a shit. So it's pretty funny. When they close the road, they put up big signs like this one. And then he screams and runs around the house. It's pretty funny. So.
Has, like, Clockwork Orange?
No.
You've done that? Nope.
Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. No, Crash. I saw Crash.
The Cronenberg one, yeah.
The Cronenberg one, yeah.
I saw Clockwork Orange for the first time when I was 12 years old, and that was too early.
Too early.
Yeah.
I think I was much older, yeah. I was far too young.
I realized that it was awesome, but I didn't realize how awesome it was at 12. So it's literally one of my favorite movies of all time. I love Clockwork Orange. It's so good.
Yeah, I think I was confused at the time because I saw it like as, I don't know, it was probably 13 or 14, and I couldn't find anything erotic about the William Tell Overture scene, and I didn't understand that as a stupid teenager, where you're just like, this should be sexy, she's naked.
Yeah.
And it's like, just wait till
just
you grow up.
Just not working.
The thing that I did get immediately that stuck with me for the rest of my life was that the bad guy wins at the end of that movie. And I had never seen that before. I was like, this guy's fucking horrible. And he wins. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was, yeah. That ending, that thing. Tortures of the damned, sir. Tortures of the damned.
That fucking smile, smile on that dude's face, like solidified Malcolm McDowell is one of my favorite actors of all time because of that movie.
Yeah, he's always good. Like, he does a lot of crap movies,
yeah,
but he's always good in them, you know?
He's so perfectly cast as Alex DeLarge, man. It was so good. Is this a movie?
He was in Wing Commander. Wonderfully horrible movie.
Oh, I thought you meant the game.
Star Trek.
He's probably in the
Generations.
Game, too.
Yeah, he sure is.
Yeah.
I unreservedly love those Wing Commander games.
I can't wait till we see some Star Citizen then. Or Squadron 42, I should say.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. That's kind of on my list of things. Because I was having a conversation with someone at work just yesterday about how laggy it was when I jumped in last time. And he was saying, like, oh, no, I was in recently. It's a lot better. So I think it's about time. To check that back out. Go on.
No, you know I'm down for that. I was trying to segue into what you're doing.
Oh. Well done.
Hold on, let me queue up a montage here.
Awkwardly move into the new scene.
Some survivors digging like a farm, and then someone loading some ammunition.
Now you gotta do the montage song from Revenge of the Nerds. You've got to put one foot in front of the other.
That has a funny rape in it. Does Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
Speaking of movie podcasts.
I see where this is going.
Not towards funny rape, I assure you.
Mm-mm. I believe that's taboo.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, I have been I've been doing a lot of work recently, doing a lot of design work at the day job, which has been refreshing and fun. And also around the Legion podcasts stuff, I've been kind of working on some of the website features there, and also getting together some video stuff on that end, which I think and hope is going to translate into some fun video stuff on sdfgaming.com as well. I've been like literally, I had one of those points today where I had like Premiere open with a project in one window and Audition in the other, and was like playing with the audio on the video and whatnot. And I was like, this feels official. This feels like I'm doing something. But it was all, you know, mediocre at best.
You're just slamming your hands on a keyboard.
I briefly wore the mouse as a hat. I was, but yeah, so I've been kind of doing a bunch of that stuff and which has been real fun. And wrestling with the fucking Switch. I've been playing a bunch of shit on the Switch recently, and I use that Elgato game capture. And right now, the way I want to do this is I want to have the Switch hooked up directly to my monitor at the desk where I am right now. The one that I usually record at, and also is just kind of handy. Because most of the time, if I'm at home, I don't really play it on the big TV. I kind of play it off the cradle. But I kind of like playing it at the desk. And I can't get the game capture to get the sound yet for some reason. And it's driving me crazy. Like, I'm in that stage where I'm doing all the forum hunts and stuff, where you're just like, hey, here's a thing I found that worked once for one guy.
Yeah.
And see if that works. And
because I replaced all the RAM in my computer, and you're like, well, I'm not doing that. You know, it's always right, something.
Yeah, I'm not cracking the case to start pulling out pieces of hardware. I don't think that's the problem, but I don't know, man. Anyway, I've been enjoying the Switch quite a bit, as well as catching up with some movies. Been staying on top of my movie viewing. Not that we ever talk about movies on this podcast, but every now and again, like, I watch pretty shitty horror movies on the regular, but it's rare that one comes along that is like notably bad. And within the past week, I had one of those moments where I was like, oh, this is kind of special. This is uniquely bad. Like, there is nothing, everywhere you turn in this movie, somebody's making a poor decision about how to make this movie. Like, the casting was bad, the performances are bad, the premise is kind of stupid. The villain of the movie is known as Seven-Toed Maggie, and that's not that scary. It was really kind of wonderful. It was one of those movies that the more I watched it, the more delighted I became with like how incompetent it kind of was. But it was also, it has that Ed Wood quality of like, they were really trying to make a good movie. It just didn't work out that way. And I love those. It really brings me a lot of joy.
There's a subreddit called Deep Into YouTube. And it's videos with low view counts that are just like of crazy shit. And I appreciate, and they're all bad. They're all just like some terrible idea. But I like that somebody documented their terrible idea. It's got that kind of same vibe to it. It's like, I appreciate that you felt the need to save this and then distribute it to everyone. Like, I have a certain amount of respect for even just that little bit of effort that went into it. So that, like, when I come across, like, what you're saying, like, a movie where it's like, man, there's some effort here. Like, people had to show up. This was their job for months.
Right. Yeah. Right. But when it comes to the scene where it's like, hey, you're shooting this scene where everybody's in this big open room and you can't hear none of the dialogue. And it's like, hey, man, if you ain't got the mics to make this scene happen, just put it in a smaller room. That's all. That's all you
post.
Had to do.
I'll fix it in post.
Right. Like, you can't clean up that, you know,
that faraway echoey sound. Like,
where you're just like, you're giving me exposition. And it sounds like you're locked in the room under the closet or under the stairs.
The entire film was filmed with binaural audio.
You know, it's just hilarious. I mean, it's one of those movies where it's like, hey, I saw you brought your laptop to our pool party. What were you looking at? Oh, me and my friend are ghost hunters. And you're like, oh my God, is this really happening? And it just gets better from there. It's so funny. Ghost Witch is the name of the movie.
Ghost alternately
titled The Legend of Seven Toe Maggie. So, you know, Google either one. It's going to take you to the promised land. It's so good. My parents inherited a haunted house. Oh, really?
Me and my friends spend the weekend there.
Yeah, that's totally what it is. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, I mean, like, nothing happens, but it's all hilarious. Anyway, video games. People play them. People love them. And we're going to talk about them. Justin.
Oh.
I know, it's a surprise. We do this at random, but your name has mysteriously come up on our Wheel of Fortune.
You just got the worst RNG luck ever.
Right.
It's the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern flipping the coin.
Mm-hmm.
It always comes up tails. Or was it heads in that? I don't remember. It's a good play, though. Tom Stoppard. I don't know why I'm Larry King freeform stream of consciousness. From New York!
It's like you're writing lyrics for a soul-coughing song.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here, Larry. Mr. King.
Just want to snap those fucking suspenders, don't you? Like it looks like if you pulled on him and snapped him back, he would like split into four pieces.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That was like just a frail looking dude.
He would just fracture.
Yeah, and he always looked like he was, you know, one step up from a living cartoon. You know, he just hunched look, and like anytime someone did a caricature of him, it was like that's barely art. That just looks like him.
Yeah.
I imagine anytime he wasn't on camera, it was like coffee in one hand, cigarette in the other. And just, I mean, I just imagine that dude's just up all the time, or was, or yeah.
Just didn't sleep, period.
Yeah.
You remember those spitting image puppets from the Genesis Land of Confusion video, for example?
Is that like Sid and Marty Croft type shit?
But it was kind of more realistic.
Yeah, there was like a show that they did that was like that, where it was all celebrity based, and it was those realistic, like, caricature puppets.
Right, so yeah. If one of those came to life, it would be Larry King. Like, Larry King is his own puppet.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Justin, video games.
Yeah, no further discussion necessary. Like, you fucking nailed it.
Yeah, no, end of discussion. Number one, PUBG. It's still the most adrenaline you can experience while sitting down at your stand-up desk.
Put that on the box.
Put it on the box. So that's all we need to say about that. We'll talk more about PUBG later. Slay the Spire. I wrote down, I played a card game and I liked it. Which is a play on some Taylor Swift song or something.
But we can turn off the lights and pack this shit up. The original intent of this show to get Justin to play a card game and enjoy it has come to fruition. Let's turn off the lights. We're out of here.
I haven't recorded a word of this.
I think it's basically crack.
It's good stuff. It's good crack too, though, right? It's like quality crack.
Yeah.
It's not like the shit that you pick up out of the gutter, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like the gameplay loop is very satisfying. It makes you play really smart, and I felt like at different times I was a card shuffling Jason Bourne. When you get things just right, and you're just like, hoo-ha, boo-ha, and then everything dies. I will say that in the time that I have played it, they have added a daily mode, and now they've expanded on that more. I won't say anything because that'll ruin a new story.
And you can ruin a new story. Then we have less news, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, that's so fine. You know, the daily challenge, they added that, which was cool. It was real rough and tough. There was only one thing to pick from, and all the ones that I tried were exceedingly tough. And then we have a new story about how they're expanding that into, is it three or four? Was it three different daily challenges?
Yeah, I think you can choose which one you want to try. And then based on which one you pick, let me open it up here. There's modifiers. So it's like a regular game of Slay the Spire, except there are three modifiers. There used to be four. There's an algorithm that randomly picks them each day, and they programmed it so that it can, but rarely throws up the same modifier 2 days in a row, but it will never throw up the same modifier more than 2 days in a row. And there are things like, I played one, I think it was on Sunday, where you get a rare card. Each fight that you have, each combat that you enter, you lose one maximum hit points. So if you started off at 69, you would go down to 68, and then the next fight that you had, it would drop to 67. And so by the time you get up to, I made it to like a couple of fights into Act 2 on that one, and I was at like 22 health, and I ended up fighting an elite that had like 300, and I just got fucking destroyed.
Of course.
Yeah, but it's cool because, and then there's like, you know, cards you've never seen in there. It's kind of like, what's the Hearthstone, the Wild, is that what they call it in Hearthstone, or the...
Dungeon runs?
Yeah, there was like a mode where it was kind of anything goes mode, like cards that you didn't own would show up. I forget what, like pub battles or something like that? I forget what it was called. But yeah, it's got that vibe to it.
I definitely enjoy it. I would say the only cons that I have for it are that there isn't more of it yet.
Yeah, seriously.
Seriously, like all the other cons that I tried to think of in the past couple days were simply content. It was just like, oh, well, they just haven't had time to add that yet. You know, it was never like, oh, there's something fundamentally wrong with this. They've got a hit already on their hands. All they have to do is just fill it out with as much stuff as humanly possible. And it's still like very much in early access, right?
Yeah, but like it's real refined. Like I have had zero problems with it. Like I haven't had any. Like I've noticed a couple of small little glitches. Like when you hover over the cards, they kind of slide up and get a little bigger, so you can get a better look at them. And sometimes they'll like hang, or they'll kind of flash up from the bottom a bunch of times. And I think some of that is due to the fact that I play it in a window, and
if the mouse goes
outside the window, it'll just kind of trigger like this perpetual. You know, this card animation just kind of keeps happening, but you just put the mouse back in the window and it stops immediately. So it works really good. I haven't come across anything in it where there's like, oh, well, this is an obvious bug. Like, that totally shouldn't work that way. Like, I've just had nothing but good experiences playing it. So that is a quality game.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, like you guys were saying, for it being early access, it feels pretty complete. Like the complaints are like, I just wish there were a ton more. If they had sold that game for $15 and that's all it was, I probably would have been satisfied with that.
Oh, yeah. I keep playing it over and over again in the state that it is right now. But more characters and stuff like that is only going to make it more awesome.
Yeah, like, the only fear I have for it is, like, one of the reasons I lost interest in Hearthstone was I just couldn't keep up with all the cards. They just kept adding so many new cards to it that I felt like I was behind, and I bought a few card packs in that game, and essentially that was money that I just kind of threw away. Like, I had fun with some of the stuff that I got, but it was too hard to get good cards in Hearthstone for me to continue to enjoy it. And this one, I like that they have that unlocking mechanism where you're kind of getting experience points while you play, and then that just makes more cards available based on your level, and they will just show up randomly in the game now that you've unlocked them. And I like that you don't build a deck initially. You kind of start with I like that you build the deck as you play. I think that is kind of my preferred method. Like, I think I like that more than the way Hearthstone works, where you collect cards like a typical CCG, and then say, I'm going to build a deck for the wizard, or I'm going to build a deck for this guy. And this one, it's you pick your character, you start with the basic starter deck, and then as you go, you randomly build a new deck, which keeps each round new and interesting. I like that whole idea. As you're going, you can, I'm going to build a more defensive style, I'm going to go more offensive. Like, you get to pick your cards as you go, but it can be different each round, and you can kind of mix it up. I think that's really cool.
I honestly wonder if that is something that has been tried in the real world in a card game, like where you have a giant pool of cards that a pool of players are playing in a tournament and they're building their decks as they go. And if not, that would be an amazing thing for someone to set up.
Yeah, that would be kind of a cool tournament where there's a finite number of cards and it's literally the luck of the draw as you're going through the tournament. That's a cool idea. There's probably a term for that we don't know, but exists.
You're probably right.
Card pooling.
Card pooling. Nice.
Duh.
I was going to go with something royale, but that seems to be in fashion.
Yeah. Slay the Spire, man. Just a very special kind of game.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. Past that, I've been playing some Dying Light. Mm-hmm. With by myself and with Dolan, we played the other night. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about it in the past, but it's worth maybe just going over again. I mean, it's, I feel like I just didn't give it the time of day or as good of a chance as it deserved, because in the past week, I've really enjoyed my time with it. The atmosphere in it is really great. It is. I mean, it just looks beautiful. It runs great. It is a little bit older, but
2015. I think it's coming up on 3 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, it looks.
Yeah. It doesn't show it. It doesn't show it. It's
fine. Doesn't show it.
No. But it's. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, obviously, parkour is awesome. I think we've maybe been over some of the cons for it, and I think like the combat's a little difficult to get used to at first, and then I think it kind of pushes the parkour on you at the beginning as opposed to the combat, where maybe it should try and flop that a little bit and get you a little more into the combat from the beginning. And I think this past week I've realized that it really is just seems like the Ubisoft, it's Ubisoft, but it's like if they tried to make a Bethesda game. Because you're basically just in this open world, running around, talking to all these different people, and it's like they use kind of the same, almost like, not dialogue system, but just the way you talk to NPCs. It reminds me of Fallout a lot.
Where it kind of like zooms in and they fill up the screen. Yeah.
Yeah, and you like just have like a ton of side quests. You know, like you can just run around and keep talking to people, and as long as you're sort of progressing the story, you're like always going to end up having like 4 or 5 side quests that you can just run off on at any given time, which I feel like is something that was good about Fallout, where it's like, oh man, I'm tired of these big long story missions, and you could just like go do some real random wacky side quest, and there are things like that in there. Some very serious side quests, and there's some things that seem a little bit more lighthearted.
I don't think Ubisoft has a hand in this, actually.
Does it not?
No, it's Techland, and the publisher is listed as Techland Publishing, so it's a self-published title. These are the guys that did Dead Island, I believe.
Yeah. But it definitely, you know, Dead Island had the parkour. I guess it had more of the combat than this.
It did, yeah. So, and that was one of the criticisms when this was coming out. They're like, oh, well, what is this, just like Dead Island 3 or something? But, man, this game blows Dead Island out of the water. I mean, I remember all I did after a while in Dead Island was just run around and kick zombies because it was just kind of overpowered. And in this one...
It's not that way, yeah.
No, you kick them and they'll fall down, but the kick actually doesn't do any damage, as we... found out in kind of a horrible manner the other night.
We had some time to kill.
Yeah.
We were waiting for some down him.
For a long time. Oh. But there is, like, the upgrade tree. You can get to the head smash where you, like, curb stomp him. Like, you knock him down with a kick, and then you go up, and then, you know, after you've progressed a few levels, then you can stomp them while they're down on the ground, which is kind of cool. So.
Yeah. And it seems like the DLC stuff for that's going to be really awesome once we get into it with, you know, how we like driving cars and stuff. So, you know, I think I'm really looking forward to getting into that. Something that I did find was when I went back to PUBG after this, I really hate the vaulting in PUBG now.
Yep.
I really wish they would speed it up to, like, Dying Light speeds. And I really feel like if it was like that, the games would be really insane. And it wouldn't be that crazy. It's just super slow in PUBG. It takes forever to climb on top of things.
When we were playing PUBG, it was earlier this week, and I was just having massive problems. Like, I couldn't time the jump to get over low fences right, and it was just frustrating the shit out of me. And in Dying Light, it wouldn't matter. You just hit jump, and if you're late, it'll still climb it, but it'll be slower. But if you get it right on, it's this smooth flow, and they just hop right over shit. And like when we were running from safe zone to safe zone last night, and you just point your reticle, you know, at the next thing where you want to go, you just kind of look. And then you just start tapping that, basically your parkour button. It's kind of, it's jump basically, but it'll, you know, contextually grab the ledge or even like low walls, you'll kind of like, you know, kick your feet over and push your hands off of the wall or whatever and just kind of hop over. But when you string a whole bunch of that shit together, it just works real, real smooth. It's super fun.
It definitely feels nice. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing a lot more of that in the coming days and probably the next week or two.
Yeah. I really like the RPG-ness of it. Like, I think the skill tree is interesting. I think crafting is interesting in that game.
A little unintuitive at first, but I think
Once you figure it out, yeah.
Yeah. It's all about the figuring the base components for things out and just stocking those up. And then you can make a bunch of junk as you're doing missions. You're unlocking blueprints to make wackier things like grenades and explosive throwing stars and things like that. So,
and I haven't really felt the need to like specifically do any one crafting thing in that game. It's like, oh, I can make some more medkits because I found some alcohol and some bandages. All right. Oh, I can make more Molotovs. I can upgrade this weapon, and it's, you know, it is kind of what you get. Like, I thought it was really cool when we Locke picked open the back of that police van, and it dropped a pistol for you, but it dropped, like, a pipe wrench for me. So you get separate loot in co-op, which is really cool. Or if you kill a bunch of zombies, they all drop loot, and you go pick up yours, but it's still sitting there in my game, and then I go pick up loot as well, and we get different loot. I think that's really neat. They did a really nice job with pretty much everything in that game. I will sing its praises for a long time, and I am super psyched that we are getting back into it, because I feel just like you. Like, I liked it when we first played it, and we got some co-op in, and I remember thinking, fuck, this is really cool. We got to do more of this, and then I don't remember what it was that drew us away from that game, but we just all stopped playing it after only putting in like 5 hours. Like, we just kind of got to the good part, and then everybody quit.
Yeah, I guess so. Probably there's just other games coming out or
something. Yeah, that's always what it is, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, it's an older game, but it's really fucking good.
I will say I used all the codes that you sent us, Dockets thing, and I got a bunch of crazy weapons, and then I noticed that as soon as I got those weapons, there was a guy selling a bow and arrow, and now I can make arrows, and I have a bow, and it's awesome.
Cool. Neat. I want one. I got a bunch of sledgehammers. I'm flush with yellow sledgehammers.
Have you actually seen those yellow sledgehammers? Because they're like big steel balls on the end of a pole. They're some hardcore stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I got a fisherman's knife that I put a 240-volt battery on so I can stab guys in the face and electrocute them at the same time. It's pretty good. Bo, you gotta play some Dying Light, man.
Yeah. I was gonna install it earlier, and then I had to uninstall. I finally uninstalled Andromeda. Like, I'd had it sitting on the hard drive, like, maybe. And then today I had a moment of real honesty and was like, no.
I still have No Man's Sky installed, and I look at it, and I'm like, might update it.
Yeah. So, no, hearing you guys talk about it, and I need to download it, essentially, and I would like to play some of that. That sounds super fun. And I played a little bit of it, and I liked what I played, but I didn't stick with it.
I think the tutorial, like the mandatory kind of tutorial stuff at the beginning of that game, does the rest of the game an extreme disservice. Like, that tutorial is not fun.
Yeah.
But once you are done with it, and even if you don't get into a co-op game, like the minute you realize that you can just kind of go out into the world and climb up on a building and take a little break and think about what you want to do. Like, once you're safe, the only thing that can get you is, like, the elite zombies, because they can climb. But there's never really more than, like, 3 or 4 of those at once. And so if you're standing up on top of a roof, you can just kind of kick them off as they come up, you know? And the higher you are, the more damage the fall does to them, so you can wipe them out. That's actually the easiest way to deal with those guys. But all the other zombies are just kind of milling around down below, so it gives you time to, like, go, well, what do firecrackers do? Like, if I throw firecrackers... Like, when we were doing a mission where we're standing in, like, this giant power substation, and we had to wait until night to turn it on. And now that I think about that, I don't exactly know why we had to wait until nighttime. The story is secondary in this game, as with many really of these kinds of things. But while we were standing there, we're basically pretty much in a safe area, but zombies were kind of glitching into the area occasionally, or the game was just spawning them in there or something. But there was a 55-gallon barrel that had spikes sticking out of it, and one of the things you can do in the game is kind of kite zombies around. And if you get a tank trap or some spike wall or something in between you and the zombie, they will just keep coming at you, and they will impale themselves and kill themselves on that spiked object. So we're like, well, what happens if we throw firecrackers at the top of the barrel? And Justin threw some firecrackers on there, and a whole bunch of zombies just all hoarded around this barrel and killed themselves. So we just had time to, like, kind of fuck around with the physics of it. And then we're like, all right, well, let's, you know, there's, because there were just hundreds of zombies in that area. So we're like, let's lure some over here with firecrackers, and then we'll throw a bunch of Molotovs on them and burn them all up. And then we jumped down and looted like 30, you know, loot packages off the ground, and just had tons of shit after that. So it's fun to kind of experiment and figure out new and interesting ways to smash zombified people. So good stuff.
Cool. What else?
That's it for me.
I thought we were on John.
John.
Dying Light. I played some Dying Light. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah. Did you have another one?
I do.
Am I crazy? What's happening here?
What's happening? One of the free games on PS4 this month is Ratchet & Clank, and I downloaded that and played a whole bunch of it over the weekend.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's a great game. Oh my god, what a fun little platformer that controls super tight and is gorgeous. The graphics are really nice, and it's actually kind of funny. Like, there's a nice, you know, feel to it. It's got, like, a good sense of humor going on.
The disco ball bombs like that are really fun. Yep. And
all the weapons are really cool. The physics of, like, all of the bolts, like when you kill something, it drops all these bolts. But like if you kill a whole bunch of enemies, there's just like hundreds of these things laying around. And as you run through them, you pick them up and they're all swirling around. And it's just cool. Like there's the swing mechanic to it where you get from, you know, place to place by kind of shooting out a little laser beam. And it's got like a Bionic Commando feel to it. But it's just a really, really nice platformer. And it's free on PS4 this month. So.
And it looks great.
It does.
It's a real pretty game.
Yeah, it's like a good show piece for the PS4, I think. And it's interesting that I didn't put that story in the news, but they the PS Plus function where they give away free games every month, they are going to discontinue giving away Vita and PS3 games. I think it's next year sometime. Like they announced like a couple weeks ago that in 1 year they won't give away games on the older platforms anymore. And then immediately after announcing that, the two free games this month are Ratchet and Clank and Bloodborne. So like nobody's complaining that they're not giving away PS3 games anymore, because here's two, you know, highly rated, relatively awesome games. Although if you're a long-time listener of this show, you'll know that I bounced off Bloodborne super hard. But I did download it again, so we'll see. Maybe now that it's free, it will be less irritating. I also played Domina.
Uh-huh. Is that a bondage game?
What do you want it to be, Bo?
I kind of want it to be a bondage game.
What if it was a gladiator management sim?
All right, almost as good.
Okay, there's definitely some domination going on in it. This game is a little weird because so you're in like ancient Rome and you are the proprietor of a house that is going bankrupt, basically, and you, as the daughter of the, as the former ruler of this house, are trying to bring it back to its former glory by maintaining a stable of gladiators that you fight in, like, daily, weekly fights. But there's, like, a stats function to it. So, like, you start the game with like 5 gladiators and they're all very low level and you have a certain amount of money. And so you can go into your gladiators and you can equip them with armor and you can equip them with weapons. And the more fights they have, the more their stats increase. And it's basically you kind of set them all up. And while you're doing that, a clock is ticking down saying fight days in 3 days, fight days in 2 days. And it's a relatively short amount of time. And then the fight comes up. And it randomly rolls what the fight is going to be. Oh, there's some glitchiness to this game. But it will be a one-on-one fight. And it will say, one of your gladiators is going to be fighting a guy who's like a level 13. And he does this much damage. And you like get some stats on him. But sometimes there's like a mystery to some of their stats. So then you have to go into your stable of gladiators and pick the gladiator that you're going to send out. And if you send out one that's slightly lower level and he wins, he will, you know, get like a stats boost that would be better than if you like pick your level 47 guy to go in there and just murder this level 13 dude. And then maybe the next time that fight day comes up, it'll be a multiple gladiator fight where it's a 3-on-3. So you have to pick 3 gladiators versus 3 gladiators. So the problem is your gladiators get killed regularly. And so the way that I kept... I've played two entire, I guess you'd call them seasons of this game. And both times I ended up with one guy who was a fucking super gladiator. And then I had a bunch of like level 3 dudes. So whenever it was one of these big brawls where... Okay, you'll get into ones where it's like 8 guys... 8 versus 8, or sometimes it does off-balance stuff, like it'll give you a 3 of your guys versus 1 of their guys, but he's super strong. But basically I would be sending my hero in with a bunch of cannon fodder, and they would all just get murdered, and then my guy would finally do the final blow. So the weirdest part about this game is there's like a tech tree to it where you improve passive skills that your guys have. And one of the first skills that you can unlock allows you to take direct control over one of your gladiators. And you use like WASD on the keyboard and you actually control them to fight. But the game moves so fucking fast that every time I did that, my guy just immediately got killed. So the way that I was playing it was just like full on sim. Like I did all the armor, picked all the armor. I picked the guys that would go in, but then I just let these AI battles play out for the entire season, which was kind of fun. It's interesting. It's got like a pixel art style to it. It's got a really fucking great soundtrack. There's kind of this, it's like rock music with like a Middle East feel to it. Like there's lots of like, you know, droney horns and things like that going on in the background, and like woodwind instruments, and like kind of that there's like a stereotypical kind of oboe sound that's associated with Middle East music that's going on in there. But then there's like really loud guitars at the same time. But it sounds really fucking cool when you're watching a bunch of pixel guys like chop each other's heads off. It's a weird game. There's like an incompleteness to it though.
Yeah.
In a bunch of aspects. Like, it'll go into the screen where it's going to roll the battle that you're going to do, but the picture of the gladiator you're going to fight against is already there. So it's got this presentation like it's randomly rolling a fight for you, but you already know you're only going to be fighting one gladiator because the picture's already loaded there. And it's like kind of, it's not in early access anymore. But it's,
and I guess it should be said too, it's only $10.
Yeah, and I picked it up for like $4. It was on sale, you know. But it's definitely got a, what does this say? March 6th was they're up to version 1.1.19, but it was a beta for that version. The previous version was considered just a 1.118. So they are still working on it. It's being regularly updated. Like the previous update was February 20th. Then this 0.19 was March 6th. And they're doing things like, clickable scroll up down icons for employee list, fixed difficulty quality sliders will now snap and display more. Like they're just kind of doing quality of life type updates to it. Like this one right here where it says employees. So one of the things you can do in between fight days is you can hire employees at your grounds, your mansion, and they will have like effects on your gladiators. Like you can hire a medicine man, like a surgeon, and just having them will increase the speed at which your gladiators heal between fights. Or you can have like a smith, and having him, you can train different skills on the smith, and so one of the skills will repair your gladiator's weapons at an increased rate. And then when that takes like 3 days, so if there's 12 days between fight days, you can train that skill on that employee, and then you can choose another skill to start training. And then you have a guy who's kind of like your gladiator coach, and he's the one who trains them with all of these things on the skill tree that the gladiators have. And those things take like 7 days for this skill or 15 days for this skill. So there's like all this extra shit going on that's kind of like half realized. Like it's not really clear to me what some of these employees do. Like there's an architect, and if you hire him, it says he will build things around your mansion that will have these effects on the players. And if you fire him, the projects he has completed will stay. But you can only have 3 employees at any one time, and it's not clear, like, if you fire the surgeon, will your guys still heal because you unlocked those skills while the surgeon was there? Like, I assume not, but I can't really tell because it's not, like, surfaced anywhere in the game. So there's, like, all this stuff to the design where you're not entirely clear how to fully play the game. And I imagine, like, digging down a rabbit hole into, like, the discussion board would clear up sure. that stuff. But, like,
the subreddit will work.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, but why? I shouldn't have to do that. But, I mean, it's intriguing. Like, there's some stuff about this game that I really like enough where I've gone back to it a few times. Because, it's just a sit back, and it's a management sim. You just click your mouse around, and, well, I'll train this skill and get this employee in here, and... Oh, it's 3 days to fight day. You know what I want to do? I want, like, you have these two guys that are kind of like your sponsors, and they're from two kind of competing houses, and you're trying to keep them happy. And one of the ways you keep them happy is you bribe them with wine, and then you can also just give them money, and then you can ask them, once their happiness level is up to a certain level, you can ask them to sponsor one of your gladiators, so then you don't have to supply that gladiator with food anymore. And you can go into individual gladiators and you can pay them money and you can give them wine and that increases their happiness and that has some sort of effect. But none of that stuff is very clear at all, like what that part of it is doing. But I was still having fun just kind of clicking through it and fucking around. And both times that I got to the final battle, my guys just got absolutely fucking creamed. So I spent the entire season basically... building one super gladiator, and then he had a bunch of noob guys that are just like, what are we doing? We're going to the Super Bowl? All right. Mm-hmm. You know, just get fucking murdered in like 10 seconds.
This will be fun, right, guys? Come on. Is everyone excited?
We're going to the Super Bowl. Yeah. So there's a lot of promise to it. Like, I hope they don't give up on this game. I hope they don't abandon it, because I see where they're going with it, and it's a really cool idea. The name of the developer is Dolphin Barn. Acquire, train, upgrade, and whip your brutish gladiators towards bloody victory in the ruthless arenas of ancient Rome.
Dolphin Barn is what I call that little flap on underwear.
Dolphin Barn?
Uh-huh.
Whoa! I gotta close up the old dolphin barn here. Sorry about that.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. Look,
dolphins out of the barn. Am I right, everyone? Where are we going?
Yeah, but interesting. Like, certainly if you see it on a sale, I'd say it's worth checking out. Just because it's kind of unique. Like, I've never played another game that's quite like this one. Like, it's got aspects of other games to it, obviously, but... It had its full release date a year ago, according to Steam here. So I don't know if it was ever in early access or not, but it seems like maybe it still should be a little bit.
they pulled this one out too early.
Yeah.
Put it back.
Yeah, put it back in the barn. Back in the dolphin barn. So, but I still enjoyed... The two games that I played with it. I certainly feel like I got my $5 out of it. So 3.6 hours of Domina is what I have played. So factor that into your equation.
Yeah, that's cool though. Yeah,
it's interesting. It's an interesting thing. I really like the... One of my favorite things about it is... So the for a pixel graphics game... It gives you a lot of information. Like, there's a feature built into it where at the end of a round, the final kill pops up in a little window in the corner with a big giant Facebook button and a big giant Twitter button on it. And you can tweet. And I did it on the SDF Gaming Twitter account, at SDF Gaming. And I tweeted out, like, the last 10 seconds of a fight. And one of them is, like, one of my superhero guys... And he takes a swing at the, like, it's just a one versus one, and he takes a swing at the guy, and then that guy swings at him three times, and he kind of dodges in a really cool-looking way. Like, the animations for the way the characters move are really cool. And then goes in and chops the guy in half, and the guy's body, like, his torso kind of slides off as he's falling. And it's not entirely clear that he chopped him in half, but it's pretty clear that he chopped him in half. And then there's, like, blood spraying out, but it's all pixelated, and it's just got this really cool style to it. But the whole time that's going on, like, you're in this arena, and there's all these people standing around, and it's obviously, like, the developers of the game are, like, screaming things in the background, but it's kind of covered up by the crowd noise. But every once in a while, you hear something about, like, yeah, grandma gave me this sweater.
All right.
So there's a certain charm to it. So
yeah. I like a good sim game.
You just hear like underneath the roar of the crowd, all of a sudden it'll get a little quiet and you'll be like, fucking tear them apart. You'll hear that come out of the crowd or something. So it's cool. Domina.
All right. Not just for sex dungeons anymore. Out now on personal computers. I've been playing a bunch of stuff of late. Like I mentioned earlier, been playing a lot of Switch recently. Not long ago, I picked up that Bayonetta 2-pack. Mm. When you could get both 1 and 2 for the Switch for, I think it was $40 for both.
Wow, that is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it was like you bought one for 30 and you got a discount to get the other. Anyway, somehow it worked out. But yeah, I started playing that. And have you guys ever played Bayonetta? It's available on Steam, by the way.
I have not.
It is Platinum made, the developer made the Bayonetta games, also did like the Devil May Cry and, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. Those sort of third person character action, kind of fight combo based brawlers.
Yeah, it's like a combo hack and slash.
Very much so. Yeah. And the thing that I really dig about it, one, it's just as Japanese as it could be. You know, it's a witch with a suit made of hair fighting angels, and she's got amnesia, and there's a irritating sidekick because all of those games have one. But the combat is, you can kind of mash your way through it to an extent. But it's not it's not punishing at all. Like there's just enough combos in the game that kind of, even if you don't mean to, you're gonna start to combo some stuff together. And once you get that and kind of the dodge mechanic down, it becomes a very playable, super fun game. And it is just weird and over the top and very goofy, and I really just adore it. And it's been frustrating that I haven't been able to stream some of it, because I can get the video just fine, but the audio just doesn't seem want to come. But
what is the out port that are you just plugging into the USB-C on the bottom of it, or?
Well, you're going from the HDMI into the Elgato capture device, and then there's a pass-through to the monitor.
Are you doing that off of the dock, or just off of the Switch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, off of the dock itself. And I know that it's sending an audio signal. I just don't know why I'm not picking it up, and I'll figure it out. But, so I've been playing some of the Bayonettas, and it's really good. Like, Bayonetta is a fun character, you know, you can argue the sexualization of that character, and she's always, like, sucking a lollipop or showing her ass to somebody or something. But, you know, I mean, it's a character who also has perfect agency within the story and is certainly in charge of her surroundings, and it doesn't come across as being kind of gross, exploitative stuff. It's just like, yeah, she's just kind of a sexy, sassy kind of witch character.
Like an Iron Flux.
Yeah.
Very similar to something like that, only even more coy. You know, like being very aware of the fact that guys are like, homina, homina, you know.
And then she fucks him up.
Yeah, I mean, she wears guns for heels. Yeah. And that's pretty awesome. And that one of the moves in the game is you kind of windmill the joystick and hit the shoot button, and it actually puts you into an animation where you can use the guns on her legs to target multiple enemies around you. It's pretty cool. And that's what the game really has going for it, is there are these moments where you realize, like, oh, in the first 10 minutes of the game, I am fighting robot angels on the back of a jet that's careening toward a building. And that's pretty fun. And the game's just like that. It's just full of these crazy big set pieces. And you get a pretty good feel for juggling enemies early on. Where, hey, if I do this combo, it's going to bounce them up. And then I can, go into my next kick attack, which then is going to feed my meter, which gives me these over-the-top glory kills. And it's, like every stage ends with a grade. It's one of those games where it's like, bronze medal, yeah, thanks for playing, I guess. But I do like that because I have replayed some of those stages a couple of times just to... I on the second stage, I gold medal now. So
you want to make Bayonetta happy?
The combat is real fun, man. I mean, kicking somebody up in the air and then shooting them on the way down, it's just kind of satisfying in a gameplay kind of way.
Did you ever? I forgot if you had you played a bunch of Nier Automata as well, or enough of it to understand what it was, right?
Yeah, that's a game I keep promising to go back to and just haven't yet.
So, like, I feel like I can't justify purchasing Bayonetta until I play more Nier. Because, like, I don't feel like I've given it enough to know what it is, but, like, by all accounts, I haven't gotten to the good part of Nier yet.
Yeah, and I would argue that Nier is a more dour kind of deal, like that's a game that takes itself pretty seriously, and I would also say that the combat is not nearly as fun, just genuinely fun gameplay. Like the combat is fine in Nier, but I don't think that's really the selling point of that game. Whereas something like Bayonetta, it's like, it's goofy, don't get too hung up on the details. Like every Japanese genre movie, Don't scratch too hard at the story because it'll all come falling apart. But it's really fun. It controls well. Yeah, it's got really fun music. Like the whole front end of it is this crazy version of like Fly Me to the Moon. And it's just cool. It's just a really fun, easy to control, cool game. And having it on the Switch in particular is great. Like you could pick it up on Steam and have a great time with it, but if you've got a Switch, go ahead and get it on the Switch, because then you can pick up Bayonetta 2 for next to nothing. And you ought to, if you've played Bayonetta and even kind of like it, Bayonetta 2 is the better version with more craziness and over the top shit.
And so did you say that you primarily play Switch undocked? Are you doing that with a pro controller and having it like sit in front of you, or are you playing with the Joy-Cons on the device itself?
Man, I go all kinds of ways with my Switch, man. I really do. Sometimes I'll play it just with the Joy-Cons on the sides. If I'm at work, I use the kickstand and just play with the controller. When I'm at home, like I said, I moved it right here at my desk where I do all my recording and stuff, because I found it to be a really good companion to doing a lot of the video editing and stuff, because when you're exporting that stuff, it just takes forever to render.
Yep.
So I'm like, okay, well, that's going to take half an hour to render this 5 minutes. But in the meantime, I'll kick over and play like a chapter of Bayonetta, which that's about as long as they are.
Yeah.
I enjoy the controls quite a bit. They're pretty simple. There's nothing overly complicated. There's a lot of depth to it. So, it's one of the joys of gaming for me lately, is I've been playing a lot more kind of character action stuff, between Assassin's Creed and playing a lot of Bayonetta lately, that have somewhat substantial combat systems. Less so Assassin's Creed. Bayonetta has way more of a combat system than that does. But that kind of thing where, like, as you're playing through it, you start to get a few combos down, and then once you have those down, the combos that you're learning are cool enough that it's worth it. You know, like, there's this one combo that I really like where you kick someone up in the air, jump up, grab them, and slam them back down with you, which also sends all the other enemies in the area up into the air. It's pretty cool, and it's fun to do, and it's not hard. You know, it's like once you get it down, the rhythm of it, it's like, oh, I can do that, you know, just about any time now.
Did you ever play Dante's Inferno?
I didn't. I played Devil May Cry, which, of course, it's still platinum, so it's the same kind of thing. And I kind of felt I like Bayonetta more than Devil May Cry because Devil May Cry is a little gothier.
Yeah,
maybe.
I never played that one.
Yeah, it's a little too, like, everybody's got a leather jacket, like in a leather overcoat, and The Cure could play at any second, you know? Whereas Bayonetta is just, it's just a little goofier.
Yeah.
And I like the lighter tone of that.
Dante's Inferno didn't have, like, I mean, it had, like, a combo system, and I feel like Dante's Inferno got a lot of hate, but I actually really liked it. I think it's just because I enjoy anything that has Satan in it. And
you're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of like the subject matter was, you know, classically interesting to me. But it did have a decent, you know, juggle that dude up in the air, and you, one of your powers was you pull out like a big scythe and, you know, hook them and then pop them back up in the air, and then you would throw a bunch of like holy crosses at them, and that would knock them back a bunch of shit. Like it was fun in that same way, where it's just like string all this shit together, and then, you know, you get to fight Satan in like the frozen circle of hell at the end of that game. It was pretty good. I think I played that on Xbox 360. I think that's what that was. So it's like PS3, 360 era.
Yeah, that's very much this game. There's a lot of little cutscenes in the middle of combat areas that are just, you know, little pop-up moments where it's either, you know, somebody shows up and is like, oh, your mysterious past, Bayonetta, I have more clues about who you really are and shit. It's either that, or they'll actually just stop in the middle of combat sometimes for you to watch Bayonetta in a cutscene murdering all the shit that you've been killing. And it's just like, you know what? Sit back for a second. You've been doing a lot of work. Just watch her kill these two or three and drink it in. Because you've been doing all this shit.
Here's your reward. Here's some close-ups for you.
Right. Here's a little bit of cheesecake, but also she is shoving her gun foot into an angel's mouth and blowing the back of its head off, and that's pretty rad. So,
how gory is it? Is it pretty...
It's not that it's gory, no, because there's not a lot of blood necessarily, no, but it deals with, you know, like it has this heaven, hell, purgatory kind of mythology going on.
Nice.
And it's that the basic premise is that Bayonetta is a witch who apparently she doesn't know why, but has run afoul of heaven. So they keep sending angels at her to try to drag her to hell where she belongs, apparently. And she just murders them all show up.
No, I'm not going. I don't care where you're right from. Yeah. Oh, the heaven police? No, fuck off. I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, like, fuck you. I'm a witch that knows, like, supernatural karate / gun fu. And I'll kill all of you. And then the plot of the game is she decides once and for all to settle this and to extract herself from the war between heaven and hell that goes on.
Is there at any point in this game would I see Satan?
Not per se, but definitely a lot of demonic shit.
His presence is felt?
Yes, there are big devil monsters, but there are also heaven monsters because neither side is particularly good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, you know, the story isn't complex or anything, But there is a little bit of nuance. Like, its view of heaven and hell is more like, hey, these are just two sides who are locked in an eternal war and kind of who gives a shit. It's never going to end. It's just a thing that is eternal, and therefore, why even bother with it?
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Hmm. It's a fun game, and the story is very silly at times. And like I said, there's a sidekick character that you can just fucking keep, but the rest of it's super fun. And, you know, it's just like there are so many cutscenes of somebody throwing her a gun and her jumping up into the air and doing all kinds of crazy flips just to lock it onto the back of her shoe or something. It's just very big and loud and colorful and fun. Yeah.
I'll have to play that eventually. Someday.
Yeah, you really should. And once I can figure out my sound problem, I'll start streaming some of it because it's fun. Like, it's fun to watch. There are some times I wish I could watch myself playing it because a lot of times there's just so much going on screen that, like, I can't pay attention to how cool it is.
That's a problem. That's a problem.
The eternal problem with video games. Yeah,
this game is too cool.
Yeah, it's too cool for me to drink in all at once. The other thing I would point out, and again, this is an older game, but so be it. I've been playing a shit ton of XCOM, Enemy Within.
It happens from time to time.
It just kind of does. And I, you know, it's just been a recurring theme for this show forever. But I fell into a deep, dark XCOM hole last week for a couple of days, and that's just what I did those days.
I have never played XCOM 2, but my impression is that the original is better than 2.
I hear good things about the DLC for 2. I didn't get terribly deep into XCOM 2 because as I start playing it, it was different enough that it wasn't just a simple iteration on Enemy Unknown or Enemy Within or whatever, you know, version you had.
Yeah.
It was a much more, like, your squad interaction became a much bigger deal and so forth. And the idea of cover and stealth. And at the end of the day, every time I played it, I just kind of wanted to go back and play old meat and potatoes XCOM. And I still do. I still fall into these traps where I fire it up. It's a game that never is uninstalled from my computer. Like, I always have it laying around like a loaded gun, just waiting for me to be like, you know what? I could probably run one mission, like just one UFO. Like, I'll down the UFO. I'll go in, murder them all. Just one quick mission. It'll take me 30 minutes, maybe. And then, you know, 5 hours later, you're just like, I can't. I've spent 2 hours naming all my soldiers now.
Am I still alive?
No, you.
How did I die?
Badly.
Okay, that's typical.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was also, okay, so here was another problem I ran into, because I was going to start streaming some of that stuff the other day. By the other day, I mean last week when I was off last. But I was going to start streaming some of that, and for some reason, it wasn't capturing the image right. And so, I know what it was. It kept crashing. XCOM itself kept crashing on me. And so I had to delete it and re-download it, and then it worked. But by then, I had to move on and do some other stuff. And but where it kept crashing was the mission you died. So you may still be alive in my game.
Whereabouts unknown.
Yeah, right now you're MIA. Uh-huh. Justin has been killing it as a sniper.
I mean, duh.
All
I do is win.
It's been pretty good. He's been doing well. Power listener Andy was relegated to a support role, so he's not seeing a lot of action. You know, we all play our parts.
Play your fucking class, Andy.
Right. It's just, you know, there are some missions that I roll heavy. I don't bring support. And Andy's
back at the shop, man. He's making sure that everything's working. Everybody comes
answering the XCOM phones.
That's right. Like it's an important job. If nobody's there to answer that phone, you don't know where to take the squad next.
Yeah. Andy speaking. XCOM HQ.
XCOM headquarters. This is Andy.
Hey. Oh, you say you're panicked. All right. We'll get a satellite right up for you.
Chinese are riding in the streets. We'll be right there. XCOM to the rescue. He stands up and he hammers his hand down on that bell and screams, "We got one!"
Yeah, it's that game. I'm telling you, man. I chase the dragon a little bit with XCOM because I'll try any number of that style of like turn based kind of. It's not really an RPG. It's more just kind of turn-based combat. Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of RPG upgrade elements to it. There's some, but there's not a lot of depth to any of that. Other than like naming them and changing their hair color and that kind of shit. But I just, there never has been one as good as XCOM Enemy Unknown / Enemy Within, I think. I think that is my favorite of that style of game.
Like, Into the Breach looks interesting to me, but I don't think I'm going to buy it anytime soon because I'd probably just rather play something like XCOM.
You know, I had the kind of opposite reaction where I thought, I like watching someone play this game. I don't think I would enjoy playing this game very much.
Yeah. It just, it looks, I don't know. It actually,
it's cool.
Yeah. But Into the Breach reminds me of a game I used to play on the NES called Desert Commander. And it was kind of a tile based war simulator where you had like bombers and a bomber could move 7 tiles and your tanks could move 3 tiles. But if they went over sand, they could only move 2 tiles. And it was kind of that move your little dudes around on the battlefield sort of a thing. And I was real excited about Into the Breach when I first heard about it, but the more I see of it, I think that's exactly it. I like watching other people play it, like kind of in the back. Like I've had it on like some streams a few times. I watched like Giant Bomb did a big stream of it, and I watched them play that for a while. And I think that's maybe enough for me. I don't know. Like I'm not as excited about it as I was when I first heard about it. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think, you know, worth noting for listeners, Into the Breach is the new game from the people who did FTL.
Yeah, like it looks like a cool game, but I just, for some reason, I can't get excited about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you. I by all accounts, I should be jonesing to play that game.
Yeah.
And, I'm kind of neutral on it. If it comes around real cheap, I'll
give it a try. Maybe, yeah.
You know, if it hits that $5 price point, it's like, well, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I like FTL enough. I want to support. I'll buy a game for $5, even if it ain't very good. But I mean, that FTL. Oof.
Great game, but ultimately extremely frustrating to me.
Yeah, it's, that game is, much like Slay the Spire, I would say Slay the Spire does a much better job in terms of balance, where you feel like you could have won had you done something different.
Yeah, I don't feel like I've ever been, like, had a bad beat in Slay the Spire. It's like, nope, I had that coming. Like, I came into this room with 25 health, what the hell was I thinking? Like, I had no business being here, and that's why I'm dead.
I you know what? Have you had those runs, either of you, the runs where your cards are kind of shit and you just can't make any kind of synergy out of it? It just, but somehow you get through, like, say, the first floor and you're like, I have no right being here. I shouldn't have beat the boss. And yet somehow I did. and you get to that final, finally somebody reveals you for the sham you are in that game.
Somebody comes along and goes, no.
Yeah, it's about time. Right,
I mean, do you know what I'm talking about? Have you had those where you're just like, I can't believe I won that, and I should immediately be home.
Well, I mean, that night when the first time I saw that game in action, when you played it and Andy and I were watching you stream it, and you had just several combats in a row where we're like, there's no fucking way. There's no fucking way you're getting out of this. And then you would squeak by like with, you know, at the last possible moment, and you did it like three or four battles in a row. And in and of itself was very exciting to watch. So I think that's kind of a cool positive about Slay the Spire, is it's just like, you never quite know. Like, you feel super smart when you realize that, oh, on my last turn, when I discarded that card at the time that I did, is what led to it coming up right now, which is why I am going to win. Like, you feel like, I totally played that in the exact right order, so those cards came back up just right, and yeah.
So. Yeah, when you have that nice run where it's like, oh, I'm getting some cards that enhance strength, and oh, now I've got that card that converts strength into shield,
yeah,
and or strength into attack, and you start to see all that stuff work together where there are turns where you're just wrecking shit.
Yeah. I forget what card it is, but there's one that does damage equal to the amount of cards in your draw pile, and when you upgrade it, one of the upgrade bonuses is that it's always in your hand at the beginning of a combat.
Shit.
So I had one where, like, I had 28 cards in my deck. So in it, I had, like, a bonus where I would draw extra cards at the beginning of a round. So I would have, like, 6 cards in my hand. But I had that card. So I still would do, like, 22 damage with that card. I had and that was a 0 cost. There's 0 energy cost on that card. And then I had another card. I forget what it was called also. But that one did, like, 18 damage by itself. And that was a 0 cost card. And so you could string a couple of those together, and I could do like 115 damage on my first turn in every single round of combat with those two cards. It was really good. But we were talking about XCOM. Sorry.
Yeah. Speaking of XCOM, it feels redundant almost at this point to sing the praises of that game, but it's just, it never fails to be entertaining.
Have you beaten it?
And the original XCOM, yeah, I haven't beaten Enemy Within though, and that's what I've been playing. Mm-hmm. Like, I've beaten Enemy Unknown for I think PS3 maybe was that version of that game. But anyway, I've never done Enemy Within, and I've been playing that on kind of PS4 and PC just for goofs.
Couple of separate runs going.
I kind of do. I like I said, I had a real problem. It was like a 48 hour period where if I wasn't doing something podcast related, I was playing XCOM. But it was fun. And another thing, speaking of the PS4 that I played a fair amount of was the, Marvel Ultimate Alliance collection that they have. That's Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2, which is sort of the Diablo-esque Marvel game that came out for the last generation and was on 360 and PS3, I believe. I don't know. Ultimate Alliance might have been OG Xbox. I don't know. I think that was 360. Anyway, doesn't matter. So they released those games as a bundle on PS4 at some point, and I picked that up for about $20. And that, man, the original Ultimate Alliance is fucking cool. The move set that you have in that game is really, really neat. If you've never played Marvel Ultimate Alliance and you like Diablo style games, The kind of customization you can do with the Marvel characters and just stupid shit that appeals to me, like, oh, you get bonuses if you're playing with all X-Men or all Avengers. And, you know, it leans into its own mythology in a really cool way. And if you're Spider-Man, you can just fucking swing around in all the levels and barely touch the ground. It's cool. It's like that for being kind of a last gen or early last gen game at the least, if not older than that. It just did so much right. And the sequel's okay, but the original Ultimate Alliance is just amazing. Like that and the console version of Diablo 3 are just head and shoulders, maybe my favorite style of that kind of game, of that kind of hack and slash loot game. You know,
I got a news story for you.
I can't wait. Speaking of, it's about time we looked at some news, but first, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for a break and then news.
Gotta go let the dolphin out of the barn.
Once there was a show called the Not So Evil Episode Sidecast. It was a long name, Batman. No one could ever remember it. They released 25 episodes of brilliant film criticism.
And like that, he's gone.
Now, 6 months later,
we're back!
I didn't know we were gone.
We've got a brand new name, new movies to review, but the same old attitude.
Foul language and obscure references? Count me in!
Each episode, we pick a topic, watch four movies related to that topic, then bicker amongst ourselves to decide which film is the best.
We're the Theme Warriors!
Join Iris, Jeffrey X. Martin, Doug Tilley, and myself for Theme Warriors. Four people, four movies, one dynamite show. Catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Horrorphilia Network of Podcasts, as well as the Legion Podcast Network.
That's the Theme Warriors! Don't want to sleep no more!
Who are you people?
Hey, I should have mentioned this to you guys earlier. I finished my Star Trek The Next Generation in 40 hours.
Yeah.
What'd you come out the other end of it thinking?
I've become a real Star Trek The Next Generation fan.
It's a good show.
It's real good. And so then I immediately, as soon as I finished that, I don't think it was the same night, but maybe the next night, I started watching Deep Space Nine.
And, good show. Boy.
And there's a list out there for that show, but I was like, I watched the first couple of episodes, and I was like, I think I'm just kind of into this.
The list for that show is every episode.
Yeah, I don't know what I thought the show was, but it's not what it is. And
how great is the first episode when you come off the end of The Next Generation, you're like, Captain Picard is the greatest person that's ever lived. He's the greatest captain ever. And then, like, the first episode of Deep Space Nine, Benjamin Sisko's just like, I don't like you, man. And you know why.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Bro, you know why. Get out. Get off my station, basically.
Some bitch.
Well, and
like, thanks for the ride.
The job it did of, like, even that aspect of his character, of like his obsession with the death of his wife, and how when he goes into the wormhole and the whole thing is, hey, you know, he's dealing with creatures that have no concept of time or human existence or not knowing the outcome of a situation, and saying, you know, well, you know, we learn from the past and we continue to move forward. And they're like, yeah, but you keep bringing us back here to this place where your wife died, so you're not moving forward at all. And him being like, you're right, I'm not. And it, like, it was such a clever way to do something obvious with that character, but it was done in just an elegant narrative manner that I really liked. And from that point on, I was like, okay, I think I just like how this show is done. And it's cool, like, all the politics of it and everything I find really interesting. And I don't know who it was that said it. It might have even been you, Justin. It sounds like something smart you would say, but the like that. But the idea that, like, Next Generation is sort of the optimistic face, you know, the explorer's spirit of the Federation. And Deep Space Nine is like, yeah, but here's how the sausage is made, sort of thing.
Yeah. Now, once the rubber starts hitting the road and the blood starts piling up, like, you know what I mean? Like, how utopian is a utopia? Yeah, it really is, though. And that's the greatest part about that show, is if you go into it as a big Star Trek fan, you come out the other end of it loving it even more, I think.
So, I was thinking about your Star Trek Awakening, Bo. Just this last week, it occurred to me that I was wondering if you had finished it.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what led me to it, and I think maybe Justin has mentioned this before, but I found, just by accident, a series that Brent Spiner did, and you can watch the whole thing on YouTube. It's called Fresh Hell. God. It's pretty goddamn funny.
It is pretty funny. You have to like Brent Spiner
to like it a lot. Like, I was probably Googling Brent Spiner because I'm just like, what Brent Spiner's up to? That guy's fucking great. And came across that series. And so the whole premise of this series, they're like 5 minute long episodes, and the first minute and a half is credits. But it's Brent Spiner had an incident that led to his fame downfall, and it's not spelled out specifically what happened, but this little short series is about him trying to get over being the most hated man in Hollywood because of the incident, which people keep referring to it as throughout the entire series.
That's pretty funny.
It's decidedly low budget. Like, there's very obviously no lighting crew was hired during the filming of most of these episodes. Like, it's just in probably somebody's apartment, and they're just
like Geordi LaForge let him borrow the camera to film it, and then pops up in a couple of the episodes, I think.
Yeah.
LeVar Burton's in there a couple times.
Yeah, I think there's only two seasons of it, but it's on YouTube, and it's just called Fresh Hell. It's worth watching from a low budget short film indie, you know, aspect. And hey, I like Brent Spiner, so yeah. But I found my way to it. But I'm pretty sure that you have mentioned that exact series before, Justin. So
I have.
Yeah, look it up. Now that you're a convert, Bo.
I will. I think Power Listener Andy is now on board as well. We've had a couple of real nerdy conversations about the Ferengi that I really like.
So after Next Generation had done its original run, I was out of high school, kind of milling around in that time, like, what do I do now? Should I go to college? Should I keep working in these shitty jobs? I think I'll just smoke a bunch of grass and drink a lot on weeknights, that kind of era. And I would end up at basically the same friend's house every night, and we would watch Love Connection with Chuck Woolery.
Uh-huh. Back in 2 and 2. Yeah.
Followed by reruns of Star Trek The Next Generation. That was what we did every night for like an entire summer. Good stuff. Love Connection's a nice lead into Star Trek. It's like we got to suffer through these people to get to the good stuff.
I had that same summer, only it was instead of Star Trek and Love Connection, it was PGA Golf on the Sega Genesis.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. We got real good at that game.
Trying to think what I was playing around that time. I had a Sega Game Gear, I remember, right around that same time.
See, I never had a Game Gear.
It was a piece of garbage. That thing was trash.
That means you also had an unending supply of AA batteries.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Because it was a hog.
Yep. It had such a
I never had one, but I had friends who had one, and that was always the problem, is it was always running out of battery, and I would have my Game Boy, and I was like, this thing lasts forever.
You know,
it was that color screen killed it, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Backlight. I had a backlight.
I have really been itching lately, speaking of portable consoles, to play through Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney on the 3DS again. And I don't know why. I don't know what has led me to this point in my life where I was like, you know, that Phoenix Wright game, it's kind of obnoxious, and I kind of want to play it again. I think maybe I just want something cool to play on the 3DS. I know there's Nintendo news ahead of us, but I still think that device is real cool.
I play my son's 3DS more than he does. So I'm glad I bought it for him.
Nice.
Bought it for him, specifically. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of news.
Oh.
We should probably talk about some. As I've pointed out on this here podcast a number of times, look, news is always coming at you, flying right at your face. And sometimes you just want to ostrich a little bit, put your head in the sand. It's time to stick them up. We've got John Dolan here to give you all you need to know about video games. John, what in the hell is going on?
Ubisoft is making The Division 2. Shocking.
What?
No way. Oh, my God. It was announced. They had some sort of earnings call or something. I don't know what they were talking about, but they said, yes, we are making it. But then they went on to say things like, it wasn't an easy decision, the game's creative director, Julian Garrity, said. There are so many stories and so many experiences we want to explore within The Division that we really thought a sequel was the best way to investigate these things. So this is kind of a half response to a lot of people saying, why don't you just make the fucking first game better instead of doing a whole new thing? But they came out and said, well, we've had ideas for this game since before we released the original Division that were ideas that we knew we couldn't do in the original Division. So they've apparently had the Division 2 in their back pocket for some time. Sure, I'm down for this. I hope it's better than the first one because I wanted that game to be more than it was. I enjoyed it, but there were some glaring issues with the Division. Namely, the Dark Zone did not work right.
Yeah, it was a cool idea, though. I mean, I like the fact that they tried something with it.
Yep.
The Division was a game I always felt like I should have been more enthusiastic about. Because it's kind of Diablo with guns.
Yep.
But I just...
It wasn't enough of that. Like, it was... I found a gun when I got to a high level that I really liked the way that it shot. I liked the amount of ammo in the clip. I just kind of found a gun that I liked. And then I never switched away from it. Almost to, like, my detriment in the game. Like, I would get into situations where I was underpowered, but I couldn't find another gun that I liked as much as that one. Whereas in Diablo, I'm dropping loot all the time and picking up the new latest and greatest thing. Like, yeah, fuck that axe. This thing's way better, you know. But I feel like when it comes to guns, I'm a sucker for what it sounds like. And is it an LMG, you know, or, like, I like... In video games, I fucking love LMGs. I like, you know, having a 100-round clip in my fucking gun. Or in that game, it got ridiculous. Like, you could find some modifier or something for it and have, like, 200 rounds you could fire before you had to reload, which was... great, but I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. Ubisoft has had a pretty good track record lately. I'll give them that. Like, they've been doing a good job lately while others are kind of floundering. BioWare. Sorry.
Oh, man. Just breaks my heart every time it's said, but so true. Boy, what was it? Anthem? Oh, boy, that Anthem just better be the bee's knees.
There's some weird shit going on with that, though. I didn't put that story in here, but have you seen all, like, a writer, I forget his name, but he had worked for BioWare previously, had left, came back, and now just quit again, and then just, like, a week later, there was news again that another one of their head writers has left as well, and everybody's like, what the fuck's up with Anthem? Who knows?
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Also with this Division 2 announcement, it wasn't an official announcement from Ubisoft, or Ubisoft, I guess I should say, that the Division 2 will have their largest development team ever in the history of Ubisoft dedicated to it. And like I said, they didn't say this, but some people did the math after they said all of the studios that would be working on it. They have multiple studios. I believe it's Massive Games is one. Where is all that shit? Massive Entertainment, the lead developer, as well as Ubisoft Annecy, Red Storm Reflections, Ubisoft Bucharest, and Ubisoft Shanghai. Ubisoft Sofia, I have no idea what that is, but apparently they're also providing support on the project, according to some publications, is what the story on GameRant.com says.
I bet we'll have Division 2 PUBG Edition. There will be some sort of battle royale baked into the next one.
I mean, they kind of had it. They had that survivor mode in the Division, which was a really cool concept. Like, the whole idea was you're in a helicopter on your way to a mission, and it crashes in the city because there's a blizzard. And you had to loot and find warm clothes and heat yourself next to flaming barrels or go inside. And it was a battle royale mode. Like, it was a fight your way to the objective, killing everyone else that wasn't on your team. Like, they had a battle royale mode that kind of had this cool Blizzard modifier going on it. But it didn't quite work right. Like, it was super hard and just very punishing. So I don't know, maybe they'll do something like that again that's maybe has some more options to it, so it's not quite as much of a beast. But yeah, they're going to have 1,000 people working on this game, people have estimated. That's a lot. It's going to be a big goddamn game. Like, I hope they don't fuck this up.
Yeah, and if they do, they'll give it 6 months and
yep, and throw something else at us. Yeah, it's Ubisoft. They'll just have something else to come out and whatever.
In their defense, all the games they messed up last year basically have been updated to a point that people like them.
And I think that's the one thing they're doing really good. They've, like, Wildlands had a sketchy start and The Division had a sketchy start, but they've gotten good at supporting games after release, which is not something they used to do at all. So credit where credit's due, I guess, on that.
Sure.
There was a, what is the Nintendo, what do they call their thing?
Oh, the Nintendo Direct?
Nintendo Direct live stream event wherein they announced, everybody went crazy, mostly for Super Smash Brothers. Officially being confirmed that it's coming out, but people aren't sure if it's going to just be like a remake of Super Smash 4 from, I think, 2014? That game's 4 years old. Wow. Or if it's like a brand new re-envisioning of it. I'm not a huge Smash Brothers fan, but I'll give it a try. I've never really played one. It sounds like something fun. It's like a good multiplayer thing to have on the Switch.
Yeah,
addictive.
Yeah, I don't know if it's
if you're playing with a bunch of friends.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. Like, do you have people to play with? Like,
yeah,
I'm not gonna play Super Smash Brothers by myself. That's just not a thing that's gonna happen. So, but yeah, I mean, it's continuing good news for Nintendo along the lines of here are. It's interesting that this thing's been out for a year, and that this is slated to release in 2018, so, I mean, that could mean, December 31st, for all I know, but it's interesting that they are kind of hitting all of their big titles on this thing right away. You've got a Zelda, you've got Mario, you're going to have Smash Brothers, you've got Mario Kart, which was technically a re-release of Mario Kart 8, but still very popular. So they're doing what they need to do to kind of get all their big ones out. So,
yeah,
I got nothing bad to say about Nintendo Switch. So,
yeah, I keep almost picking up Mario Kart. I think that might eventually just happen. But yeah, the Super Smash Brothers looks cool. I wish I played Splatoon. I wish I cared about that.
Yeah, and that, so the reason I don't own Splatoon is that there is not local split-screen co-op for that game, which I think is a huge fucking mistake. Like, what do you mean I can't do two-player split-screen and then go online as a... Because if, you know, you have to have multiple Switches in order to do that in your household, which is ridiculous. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's not like other Nintendo games can't already do that. Why did they not do that with Splatoon? Like, that immediately turned me off of being interested in that game whatsoever. Which is a bummer, because it looks like fun. So.
Yeah.
Nintendo. Here's something we did for no discernible reason that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, and sometimes those things are awesome. That's the, you know, the bittersweet of Nintendo is those weird decisions are sometimes genius and sometimes infuriating.
Yeah, like I've never really been a big fan of The Legend of Zelda, and now it is one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
It's the Nintendo dice roll.
I love them, though. I mean, again, that Switch, whoever originally sent that image of the, you know, flexible arm reaching over someone's bed so that you can just lie on your back in bed and stare up at a Switch.
At a Switch, so you don't have to move. Oh. You don't have to hold it in your hands. You just look at it and hold the controllers while you're laying there. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Yep.
A headboard clip for my Nintendo Switch.
I mean, that's a level of lazy I can really get behind.
Here's my credit card information. Let's go.
Right. All right, let's do the quick shipping. I'm going to need this tonight.
Yep. But wait, Bo.
Huh?
Did you know that you can't watch Netflix on your Nintendo Switch?
Yeah, I did know that.
And apparently won't be able to anytime soon, according to a story from Nintendojo, which is one of my new favorite named websites that exists. There was some, Netflix Vice President Scott Meyer was, I don't know if he's necessarily throwing a little shade, but he made very clear that the reason Netflix is not on the Nintendo Switch has nothing to do with Netflix. He said... of Nintendo. In the case of the Switch, they were very focused at launch, not on video use cases, but on gaming cases. Video was not a priority for them. Whether that changes over time, we have a great relationship with them and look at the possibility of supporting the Switch. We have opportunity cost around that, but at some point it might happen. You can watch Hulu on your Switch, which I have used. I actually used that to stream the Olympics. I upgraded my Hulu plan so that I could watch the Olympics, and I did it through my Nintendo Switch, which worked great. I guess this isn't that huge of a deal for me because I can watch Netflix on just about every other fucking device in my house. So, sure, it would be nice on the Switch, but it's not like you can use it anywhere other than where there is a wireless connection. Whereas...
And someone will probably just homebrew it in
before
Nintendo officially adds it.
Yeah. So... It's weird. Like, and yet another example of, huh? What, Nintendo? Why don't you have Netflix?
Yeah. Well, like I was telling you guys, I mean, having Plex on it would be pretty
rad. Oh, my
God.
Yeah, no, so I'd way rather have that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Moving on. Yeah. We're not hearing a Nintendo Switch bash.
We have come to bury Nintendo, not to praise them.
That's right. This is weird. Fortnite Battle Royale is coming to iOS and Android.
Because the abominations won't stop, according to Justin.
God, like, why? I understand that this game... So, I officially understand the level of popularity of Fortnite, because one of my coworkers, who is a 40-something mom who has 3 sons, asked me the other morning when we got to work... Do you know anything about Fortnite? It's like, This woman knows nothing about video games, but she understands that her children are obsessed with Fortnite. She has like a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and like an 8-year-old. And when they come home from school, they play Fortnite. And there's like fucking news stories starting to pop up on like CNN. Is Fortnite ruining children's ability to do homework and blah, blah, blah? Like that game is turning into a fucking like League of Legends level phenomenon.
Yeah, it's turning your kid, it's teaching your kid how to get into a mental flow state, which is awesome, mm-hmm. and it's teaching them how to be ruthless, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Gonna murder everybody.
I downloaded it.
You know, I have it on PS4, and I've played a couple of rounds of it, and it's... I don't know if I've said this on the show or not before, but it's the whole building aspect of it, I think, is neat. I'm just not really into it. Like, I don't know. Maybe I need to. What I need to try is we all need to download it and get in a game together and like give it the kind of the co-op try that usually turns me around on games. But at the same time,
I'd rather just play PUBG.
Yeah, I've watched a bunch of streams of it, and like the aiming looks really loose on it.
Yeah,
I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. And I'm in the minority because it's blowing the fuck up. Like, it is dethroning PUBG, you know? It's obviously because it's free and it's got a little more of a cartoony style so that kids can kind of say, oh, look, it's a cartoon game about shooting. Don't worry about it, Mom. It's fine. Which is essentially what I told my coworker. I'm just like, yeah, it's a shooter game. They're killing each other. Don't worry about it. When I was 12, I wanted to play the same fucking game, so. But yeah, the whole putting it on mobile... And that's the fucked up part, is it's going to be cross-play with PS4 and PC. Like, those people on phone are just going to get wrecked.
Unless, you know, they're just some kind of savant.
Like, I don't... There are some games that I enjoy playing on my phone, but they are not the same kinds of games I enjoy playing on console or PC. At all. Like, there's no crossover in that Venn diagram whatsoever. It's just a terrible platform for gaming. Unless you happen to have, like, a controller where it clips onto your phone and you're playing games like that, sure, I can see the argument, but... man, I don't know. And I'm sure it'll blow the fuck up. I'm sure it'll be super popular.
Yeah, I haven't touch that at all. I mean, I'm all for any game that is super popular.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know.
It's popular for a reason. Like, I don't want to shit out. It's like being for PUBG over that equates to, you know, League of Legends versus Dota. Like, it's that exact same argument. Oh, I can't believe you played League. You should totally get into Dota. It's way better, dude. It's like, I don't want to do that with these two games. But I clearly have a preference, so I don't know. It's weird. In keeping with the theme, H1Z1 has become a free-to-play game after it was previously a free-to-play game and then was a paid game. Maybe I should just read this. It gets real confusing. If you recall, H1Z1 was originally conceived as a free-to-play title back when Daybreak was Sony Online Entertainment and back when H1Z1 was an early access multiplayer survival game. King of the Kill emerged first as a battle royale mode for H1Z1, then split off and became a standalone game, at which point plans for both games being free-to-play titles after early access were dropped. Now, in a way, we've come full circle. King of the Kill is now called H1Z1, and you can play it for free. The thing that's interesting to me about this is the mode that they release that's called Auto Royale, where mm-hmm. it is a battle royale game where all you do is drive around in cars and shoot each other, and you can't get out of the car, and you just... Demolition Derby with guns sounds kind of like something we should probably try.
I feel like that's the case.
Yeah, because some of the best times I have had in PUBG was when we were in some epic fucking car chase with other players and shooting from vehicle to vehicle while dodging trees and going over jumps and shit. Like, that could be a good thing.
Yeah, and it's like you're you're basically driving around, like, the looting stage of the game is just shit you're running into on the road.
Yeah, you just drive over stuff to pick it up. Because you can't get out of the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds interesting. I've never played H1Z1, but it's free, so that barrier to entry is gone. So, I kind of, and we've talked about this previously on the show when we discussed DayZ, is we always wanted to be able to do like a cannonball run style thing in that, where you had to get from one side of the map to the other, but you could still fight. And I think that would be, like, they really need to get on that custom server shit for PUBG and make it so that you could set something like that up and just have 50 cars and you all start on one side of the map and you all got to get to the other side of the map and it's just a fucking free-for-all. Like, that first 10 minutes of that game would be so much goddamn fun. The first 5 minutes of that would be just bonkers. That sounds like a riot. So, hopefully all of these games are just going to end up with the same options at some point, and then you can just kind of pick the one that you like more and go for it.
Yeah.
That's my hope. For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I actually really like the driving in PUBG. I think it works pretty well. So, except for that fucking 3-seater motorcycle. That thing's a death trap.
It's a death trap. A death trap.
PUBG is the third highest earning game ever on Steam, according to our Lord and Savior, Mr. Gabe Newell.
All right. Well
big
done.
Time.
What is it? Blue Hole?
Blue Hole.
Yeah. Well played.
That's an accomplishment. I mean, it's the highest played game on Steam, and now it is one of the highest earning games of all time. I'm assuming, like, it's behind Dota or CSGO or something along those lines would probably be my guess for the top two. But they didn't outright say what it was. But in this speech where Gabe Newell was talking about how Valve needs to start making video games again or releasing video games again, he was saying, basically kind of taking credit a little bit for one of the reasons that PUBG was so successful was because of all of the technology work that Valve has been doing that kind of make it possible on Steam, which I think is maybe overstepping a little bit. Like, yes, there's some good back-end shit going on in the Steam client, but I don't know. Maybe old Gabe Newell should just make some of his own goddamn games and then tell us how good those are and how much he was involved with them.
Well,
I feel like I've said too much. Like, now I'm going to be killed.
No. Well, the, you know, what they're doing, the card game, isn't that the next thing? Is the...
The Dota-esque CCG. What the fuck is it called?
Artifact or something.
Artifact.
Like that,
right? Artifact. Yeah. I was going to say Anthem again, but I knew that wasn't right. Yeah. So, I don't want to play a card game that has lanes in it. At least I don't think I do. Maybe I do, and I don't know it yet, but...
Oh, yeah, I tried that, geez. Who put out the... It wasn't the Witcher one. What
Gwent.
Was the one with...
Yeah. That's the Witcher one.
No, it was the Elder Scrolls one, that when they threw their hat in the ring on that,
oh,
and they did
yeah.
the lanes thing as well. And it was okay, but I don't know, man. I mean... there's just only so much time you got to play a collectible card game on your phone / iPad.
And I don't believe there were any spires to slay in it, so...
Right? Yeah. There wasn't nearly as much math as I needed there to be.
Yeah. So, there's that. Hey, Justin, you can finally emote when the new PUBG patch comes out.
I kind of like that.
Thank God.
I like pointing.
You can say, with an emote, you can communicate these following things. Go, hello, affirmative, thanks, clap, laugh, surrender, rage, you're done, negative, provoke, and come here.
You don't want to dance in there anywhere?
No dance. No dance.
See,
yet.
I want dance.
Yet. Yet.
I no want dance because I want to stand in front of a window that we know someone's watching us. And then
and
I
do
start
the Carlton.
Dancing. Yeah, and they like, yeah. They're like, this mofo's dancing, and they start shooting at me, and then little do they know, we've snuck up on them.
We've flanked them from both sides, and now we're murdering them because they were watching you dance.
I do like the limb and vehicle penetration things they're going to do, but
yes.
It looks like they're holding off on that. But I do like
yeah.
the idea that limbs and stuff will have different values, and that shooting through vehicles and hiding behind maybe different parts of vehicles will be better than other parts.
Yeah. I wish they would do that with certain buildings. I hope that is eventually a thing. I love
yes.
destructible environments and bullet penetration in video games. I think both of those things are cool and they add a lot of realism. But especially when they are used together properly.
Yes.
Like that was one of the reasons I like Battlefield 3 so much, is you could roll up with a tank and shoot out all the walls of a building and then it would collapse. That's fun. A couple new maps slated to come out for
yeah.
PUBG.
Smaller, isn't that one of the deals? Is that
yeah,
one of them's going to be
4x4 kilometers, which is very small. It's about a quarter the size of, what's the original map? Arangel?
Arangel.
Yeah, that's going to be fucked up. That'll be immediate action. I imagine a lot of quick rounds. I bet winning that will be hard and kind of more random. I don't know. I'm interested to see what that's all about. The concept art for it, it looks like there's a lot of like high-low terrain, like a bunch of kind of
yeah.
mountainous peaks. I'm curious to see what that's like and how small that feels. And I think this is like a direct answer to Fortnite, because like if you've watched any Fortnite streams, that map is small in that game. And people just kind of immediately get into it. So I think this is probably an answer to that. And they also said they're going to be releasing an 8x8 kilometer map, but they didn't detail that at all. More maps is absolutely what PUBG needs, so I'm interested to see what this shit is. I still want a rain map. I want it to be pouring rain. And I would like snow. And I want it so that when you run around, your feet make crunchy noises in the snow.
Kind of division it up a little.
Division it up, exactly, yeah. Yeah. So, and all this stuff, the 4x4, did they have like a release date for that one?
That's in dev right now, or in the...
Oh, in the test server right now? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, cool. All right. So soon.
I'll probably fire that up sooner than later.
A tropical island style map.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay.
They should just call it Killigan's Island.
No. Jesus, make a fucking phone call, man. Get that in. keeping with the theme, some dude named Ninja, who is a Twitch streamer, is apparently super good at Fortnite Battle Royale, is the first person on Twitch to hit 3 million followers. Can't even imagine how much goddamn money that dude's pulling down every time he plays video games. But I wish that was me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He looks like a younger dude too. Like maybe 20.
As long as he's not a jerk, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
It's all I want.
Kind of tired of jerks.
Yeah. Don't have your gimmick being like what an asshole you are.
Yeah. I also like the part of this article that says Twitch gets more viewers than CNN and MSNBC. Like, all the people that run these TV channels and news channels must be just looking at Twitch going, what the fuck?
Or just the internet in general. Like, all of entertainment from, like, network
God
televisions on down.
Damn it, what do we gotta do?
Well, it's just like, what is going on? What is the?
We put effort into like news and investigative shit, and these people are just like live streaming a fucking video game. It's gotta be so fucking frustrating.
Yeah. I like, how do you market to a crowd that
doesn't care about what you're offering?
Does not give a shit about Grey's Anatomy at all.
Yeah. Or news? No, I don't wanna watch news. Thanks though.
No. Thank you, no.
Not interested in what is going on in the world.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I wonder what like the landscape of television is gonna look like in even just 10 or 15 years.
That's what I was going to say. Like 10 years from now. It's changed so much so quickly. It's really interesting to watch it happen. So, yeah. So, good on this kid. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Save it.
Try not to ruin it for yourself. Basically, go watch a bunch of PewDiePie streams and don't.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Try not to get any blowjobs from people that aren't your girlfriend and or wife while you're at it.
Yeah. Have a just don't be a disgusting human being and you'll be fine. Just
don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
Rule number one. Rule number one, don't be a dick.
Attitude of gratitude.
Yep. Rule number two, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
You can pull those two rules off. You should be all right.
Hey, speaking of being a stupid dick. I hear that the White House had a meeting about video games.
Yeah.
We all enjoy video games. They probably like it too, right?
In an answer to a serious problem, such as, people going into schools and shooting children and teachers, President Moron, I'm done giving this guy any slack whatsoever, calls together a bunch of people to explore whether or not video games are responsible.
Just going to get to the bottom of it, you know?
Yeah.
Trump's going to
solve this problem. Out. So he invites a bunch of these fucking douchebag morons that are like, violent video games are ruining our children, blah, blah, blah. And then all the industry people show up and go, well, actually, there are scientific studies that say no, that is not true. But of course, all the people that are getting airtime are all these fucking Melissa Henson of the Parents Television Council. I wonder what side of this they're on. Said the meeting was respectful but contentious. Her organization believes that a steady diet of media violence is having a corrosive effect on our culture, while game industry executives maintain that there was no connection between violent media and violent behavior in the real world. I'm going to just throw this out there. I think that easy access to firearms might have had something to do with it. It's crazy, I know.
Yeah, it's a bold stance. Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating because it's like this battle has been fought already. They had studies. There was no correlation found.
Yeah. And it's always won't somebody think of the children? When in reality, people playing video games are not children. Like, yes, that is part of that market. But there's a huge part of that market that's adults, which is who these games are for. And they're already rated by an independent rating group. And if you go into Walmart as a kid and you try to buy an M-rated game, Walmart will not sell it to you. So the only way these fucking kids are getting these games is because their parents are giving them to them.
Yeah, I mean, it does come down to the notion of,
like, I paid taxes for this fucking meeting to happen, and that pisses me off so goddamn much.
We also got a $31,000 table or whatever, so, you know.
Fuck this fucking guy. I'm so done with Trump. I'm so fucking done
Well,
with this
all right,
guy.
But here's the good news about this, right? It's that he's such a numbskull and a crumb bum.
Whoa. This is a family show.
Well, but here's the thing. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, man, he is the kind of guy that the word crumb bum was invented for.
Nincompoop.
But Crumbum is a little more seedy. Mm. Like, that's a guy that's got his hands into some shit. Oh, that Crumbum.
I can't swear, I'm going to go with Scumbag.
Sure.
Feel like Scumbag perfectly describes everything there is you need to know about Donald Trump. He's a fucking scumbag.
I think Lowlife is pretty good.
Yeah.
At any rate. But here's the good news, I think, about this particular lowlife, is that he's just so... Like, the entire administration is driven by scandal. Like, this very day that we record,
yeah,
he fired the Secretary of State on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, the fuck? And yeah. So... No one is going to remember this in a week.
And that's the thing. It was like, it's just like everything else. Here is a temporary distraction. So I don't actually have to even remotely attempt to solve what is a real problem, which is solvable. Like, what a fucking scumbag. A bunch of high school kids were in his office last week begging him to do something so they don't get murdered when they go to fucking school, and his answer is to go, maybe it's video games. What a fucking asshole.
Yeah, he's a real crumb.
Jesus.
I bet you one of those kids had a Nintendo Switch. That's what did it.
Well,
he saw him playing Splatoon.
They showed that video.
That's my favorite part of this.
Where it's like, here's just like the slow-mo skull fracture from Sniper and
Sniper Elite. Which, yeah. So my favorite part of that is I can imagine Donald Trump watching a Nazi getting his skull blown apart and going, oh, that poor Nazi.
Well, I mean, let's be real here. That game just wallows in that feature, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it kind of fun and goofy,
but it's okay because they're Nazis and fuck them.
Right. Well, all right, so
like, if that game was anything other than Nazis, it would be a problem.
I mean, let's not leave it to President Summer School to understand the nuance of that. But I can see where, I mean, just like if you did it with movies, where if you cut together just the rawest shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, you bring John Wick to that fucking meeting and watch that.
Right. Yeah. Right. And even I would be like, man, maybe we should just not.
Keanu Reeves is kind of fucked up.
Right.
Is he okay? It's dark.
but that's the thing. It's taking it completely out of context.
Yeah.
Like, even for the most violent stuff, sometimes, especially with the most violent stuff, that's accompanied by kind of a goofy tone that is used to say, like, hey, this is all cartoonish and over the top, and let's not take it too seriously. And if you're just splicing together a montage of, like, I could put together a video of Gorn.
Yeah.
That would be the most horrifying thing you ever saw if you added the right music to it.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, when you play the game, it's like, oh, this is just like stretchy dolls that you're playing with and pulling the heads off of. It's not like it's not an analog to a person or anything.
While in the meantime, the guy who's running this meeting owns a pageant where we judge women based on their looks, period. And this is a problem.
Yeah. And, or as you pointed out earlier, not to, you know, bang a political drum here, but I think we can all agree, I think all reasonable people do, that, hey, the fact that the attention keeps getting shifted away from
a real problem.
Yeah, maybe you just don't let people have assault weapons. Maybe just that. Maybe just that. Yeah. That's all.
Or maybe you let them have those guns, but you make it slightly more difficult to get them with perhaps some sort of licensing, you know, to the level of, like, you might require somebody to do with, like, an automobile or something.
Yeah.
Just right. Maybe. Maybe you consider that as a possibility. Yeah. Nah, that's probably video games, though. Now that I think about it, yeah.
Yeah. I do firmly believe, though, that like by the time this airs, that no one will have brought it up again. You know, like it's just one of those things. Like our current government does stupid and weird shit at such a velocity.
Not even like on a daily basis. It's like hourly now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that Tillerson stuff was truly, like, he did, I mean, I know the bar has been set high for being surprised by something.
Yeah.
But firing the Secretary of State via Twitter was certainly one of those things. I was like, really?
Yeah. But at the same time, you were like, yeah, but of course.
Well, right. Yeah. Of course, but really? Okay.
Well, that's a way to do that.
Boy, that's just the story of America these days. Really? Okay. Really?
I guess that's something we can do now. All right.
I hope this all works out.
Yeah. But, you know, but playing a video game where I blow open Nazi skulls, not okay.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. It's
because you wouldn't want to rid the world of virtual Nazis. That's too far.
Right, but again, it's stupid because the battle's been fought. We've settled this argument.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that President Goldfish doesn't know that, and even if you told it to him, he wouldn't remember it.
Yeah.
Because it's just in his head that video games are violent, and then so they will be.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I suppose he could fixate on this topic. That doesn't seem to
it ain't gonna happen. This is a fart in the wind. It was exactly the distraction he needed for the 20 minutes that he needed it,
right? And a porn star says what?
first president in history winning total, like, ahead of all other presidents in the history of the United States as far as being sued by a porn star.
Yeah.
He is winning that contest. No one else is even in contention. He has destroyed all challengers in that contest.
And again, there's no surprise in that revelation. No. It's just like, oh, really? Yeah, that feels right.
Yep.
That feels like something he would have done.
Yeah.
Scumbag. Yeah, it's real frustrating, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
in a possibly related story, someone on Twitch chat made a threat that they were going to commit a mass shooting at the Evo tournament that's coming up. And so the FBI is now involved in that, because that's a funny thing to say. Let's go to an event where there's lots of people and shoot up the place. I think that's funny. I'll say that in a Twitch chat.
Going to jail.
Great idea. Yeah. I mean, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Have fun getting butt-fucked for the rest of your life, dipshit. Like, just file this in the same folder as, like, swatting people. Like, what in the fuck? Why?
Yeah, at this point, what are you doing, man? Like, but that's what we need, right? Like, we need a couple of these people. Unfortunately, you gotta go away for a while so that the rest learn.
Go down hard. Know?
Yeah. There was an interesting article this week. It might have been The Atlantic, maybe, that was about how to clean up the internet. Like, how do you change discourse on the internet so that it's not...
Everybody's username is toxic. Their phone number.
That was one of the things is, like, well, if you remove anonymity, there are inherent dangers with
yes,
that,
absolutely.
Obviously.
Yes.
But also, how do you make it so that being anonymous is, I don't know, like that leads to so much bad behavior because there's no repercussion. And it's a fascinating question.
But there's a spectrum. Like, you can be anonymous and just be a shit talking troll, and you can be anonymous and phone in a bomb threat somewhere. Like, those are two very distant positions on that spectrum of behaving badly on the internet.
Certainly, yeah, but I mean, it's it's kind of degrees of the same behavior.
It is.
I would argue it's, you know, one is certainly preferred or, you know, less terrible, the lesser of two evils.
But, I mean, and it's fun to talk shit on the internet, but at the same time, the problem is context and sarcasm do not necessarily come through when you're reading it on the internet. So,
yeah, I think that's true. And, and sometimes, but there, every time I think about this stuff, I always think of, the scene from, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington when, Jimmy Stewart is talking about, like, you know, here's what America is. It's, you know, you're all, there's a little bit of looking out for the other guy, you know, and the way that the internet just has none of that. There's just no kindness. There's no willingness to give someone the benefit of the doubt. It's
That's just like an American fault, though. I think that's just like when I drive down the road and somebody cuts me off, I think to myself, that's the stupidest fucking person on the planet who drives like that. When in reality, it's most likely that dude made a mistake that I've made 100 times myself where I didn't check my mirror before I merged. You know? Like, I know that when I see somebody do something stupid, there's probably a high chance that I am encountering them making a mistake that they don't make very often. But at the same time, there are times when I'm also certain that I'm encountering somebody who just doesn't give a shit and they behave like that all the time. Like that equates exactly. It's not just the internet that's that way. It's just society is like that. I think it's amplified by anonymity on the internet, certainly. But you experience the same anonymity when you're driving in your car commuting to work. Like once you get in your car, like people are crazy when they drive. Like I'm guilty of it myself. Like, you're isolated away from other people by this giant piece of metal that's surrounding you, and it gives you a license to do shit that you would probably never do face to face with somebody standing right in front of you. So, I don't know. I think it's a larger problem in much the same way that I don't believe violent video games cause mass shootings. I would certainly give in a little bit to the argument that someone who is a mass shooter would be a fan of video games and in that instance could have contributed to their, you know, ideas behind that slightly. But I would certainly say their access to a firearm that's, you know, can shoot 30 rounds is much more responsible for that situation. But behaving badly on the internet to me is just no different than, I don't know, yelling shit at people on the street when you go by when you know there's no way that they're ever going to be able to catch up to you and there's no repercussions for it. That's the problem. There's no penalty for behaving that way on the internet. Whereas if you were at work and you said, you know, I'm going to show up at the meeting today and do a mass shooting, like, you're fucked. You wouldn't do it in that situation. So, yeah, I don't know. Goddamn people. That's the problem. That's the problem is people.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
No.
And I would even go so far as to say not all of them.
No, certainly. There are people who are fucking saints and they amazing to me manage to be nice all the time. Like that I marvel at that and strive to be like them, but unfortunately I am not that good of a person all the time, but
yeah. It is a struggle. I fight that battle every day myself. You know, you try to do right by people and you try to be empathetic and friendly.
And then you get in your car at the end of the day and go, motherfuckers.
Yeah, and just sometimes somebody hits you with something you're just not prepared for. Yep. You know, and you're like, oh, I'm going to say something real fucked up in a minute.
Your mother was a hamster.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is all terrible news, Sean.
We're getting to the good stuff.
All right. What,
this is the Shodcast. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I've heard of it.
Not familiar with it? Familiar
yeah.
Oculus had a hell of a week.
Yeah, but boy.
Apparently, all Oculus Rifts stopped working entirely for a brief period of time due to the fact that their security certificate expired, unbeknownst to them, but beknownst to some of their users when they turned on their Rift and it said, no, not going to work today.
I felt so bad. There's a guy I work with who just got his Rift. Like, literally that Monday before that happened.
Oh, no.
Right. Oh. And when I saw him...
How about that Rift, huh?
Yeah. I was like, man, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear about that. And he was like, actually, it wasn't that bad because I've had a really bad cold.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to play anyway, and I didn't realize that it happened until it was kind of over. And, you know... At the end, it absolutely sucks and it's stupid. It seems like somebody should have been on that.
Yeah. And I think that's the most important part of this story is like, it's one of those, really? Nobody was watching for that thing? Like, what are you guys doing over there? Like, take off the fucking clown uniforms and, you know, do your fucking job. Yeah. So their make good for this is for anyone who was affected by the outage, which means that you attempted to use your Rift on the day or the time that it was down, they will give you $15 in store credit. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's fine, but really?
But really?
But like you're a computer hardware company and nobody was making sure that the certificate wasn't going to expire on your piece of hardware.
Yeah, what wasn't it a TLS thing? Was that the underlying?
I don't know. I don't think it's in this article. The error people were getting was can't reach Oculus runtime service, failed to initialize with Oculus signature invalid.
Yeah, super stupid. It makes Oculus look a little bush league.
Yeah, totally.
That ain't happening on the Vive.
Yeah.
But that said, you know, at the end of the day,
it's fixed. Nobody got hurt. Nobody died.
It's fixed. Here's some cash. Buy a game on us.
All in all, one of those, we fucked this up. Sorry kind of situations, you know.
It's a stumble, not a fall, because they did fix it as quick as they did, and they let people know what was going on as soon as they could. And
I bet it will never fucking happen again.
Right. It's one of those things, like, if they had just ignored it, I think that would have been a problem.
Yeah.
But them being up front saying, here's what's going on, we're getting it fixed, and then coming on the heels of that with a voucher, because, you know, I mean, Sony's done that shit.
Yeah.
When they have PSN outages, they're like, hey, here's some store credit or something like that. And it's a precedent. It works fine. You're paying people for the time that they lost in a way. I think it's a fine way to deal with it.
Yeah.
Just
all in all, lessons were learned and no major damage was done other than some people were like, I imagine there's some people who are super pissed off because they were like, oh, I'll invite my friends over tonight and I'm going to show off the Rift, and they plug it in and it doesn't work. And everybody's like, yeah, this thing's real great, man. Super
cool. Yeah, some of those online games are gaining some traction, and I could really see where, you know, those communities would be real pissed off.
And $15, a $15 apology is not going to, you know, make that bad feeling go away, but it's certainly better than nothing. So.
I mean, time heals all wounds. You just make sure that, you know,
we fix it. Well, they did it right. You know, we're sorry. We're not going to let that happen again. Instead of one of these like, oh, yep. Well, it's working now. you know, where they just kind of like try to do the cover up. Huh, that's weird.
Works on my machine.
Yeah, try it again. Yeah, which, we don't...
quick, turn it on, Jerry. Turn it on.
Yeah. At least they didn't do that, which is something that, you know, has happened in the past with other groups. So.
You know, speaking of Apollo 13, it's like the Tom Hanks speech to his kid about the door.
Yeah. And we fixed it.
You know, about that Oculus runtime error, a lot of things went wrong that day.
Yeah.
But some really smart people decided that that was never going to happen again.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for. You need Tom Hanks to be the spokesperson for Oculus.
Yeah. You need John Cleese to do the speech from Fish Called Wanda. I apologize implicitly and without reservation. While he's hanging upside down. Like, you know, have a little fun with your apology.
Oh, I've been thinking about that movie a lot lately.
I feel like if you hung John Cleese upside down right now, though, he would die. So I don't want that to happen. He's looking real old.
He is. We need to put him in amber or something.
Yeah, so that we can pull him out every once in a while, and he can be super funny and irreverent, and then we put him away so that we don't destroy him.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's going to be a sad day.
We have a lot of the Pythons still with us by, you know, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Like him and Palin and...
Terry Jones and...
Gilliam.
Gilliam, yeah.
And what's his name? Yeah, Eric Idle.
Yeah.
So, like, we've got most of them, but, oh, man, the time is up.
So, since you're talking about Python, have you ever seen the video where they're doing the speech and they've got Graham Chapman's ashes sitting on stage with them the whole time? And at one point, they knock the ashes over, and without missing a beat, they all get up and just, like, start scooping the ashes up with their hands and dumping them back in the urn.
Yeah, it's
fucking hilarious. Oh, it's so good. All right, we burned this Slay the Spire story. That game's awesome. Daily challenge mode.
Worth another shout out, Slay the Spire. Fantastic.
Here you go, Bo. This is what you've been waiting for.
Uh huh.
Anonymous sources confirmed that Diablo 3 is headed to the Nintendo Switch.
I love anonymous sources.
Uh huh.
And also Diablo 3. I like that's a game I might. Triple dip on
buy again. Yeah, that would be my third time. PC, PS4, and the Nintendo Switch. Like, even if I don't play it a lot, just having the ability, like if I'm on a plane or somewhere where I can just be like, you know, Diablo 3 right now. It sounds like a smart choice, like making sure my spare tire has air in it.
Right. Yeah. Make sure that I have a tire iron
in
my car.
Diablo 3 on my Switch equates to making sure not only a tire iron in your car, but the tire iron that fits your lug nuts in your car.
Right. Right, yes. Right, right.
Yes. Very important. It's a life pro tip on the Shotcast there.
Oh, yeah. That's real cool.
We should invite Steve on here to tell that story one time.
Uh-huh. Lesson is,
always
have tire.
Always. My favorite story of the week here, if you're ready to move on from Diablo 3.
I'm just thinking, like, is it all the DLC? Are they going to do the seasons on the Switch?
I mean, this is all just straight-up rumor mill at this point. You know?
But if they did... Yeah, it could make a real good case for that being the
Nobody has come out and said, no, we're not putting Diablo 3 on the Switch. So
they're just like, we don't know. Tee-hee.
Yeah. Sounds like a great idea. Our final story of the evening.
And if they came in at a $40 kind of price range, they'll probably roll full 60 for it. But
yeah,
if they did.
They're going to sell a buttload of that game no matter what.
Right, right. Like, why would you charge 40 when you can charge 60, and people will still buy it?
Probably charge 80 if they put all the seasons and shit in there and people would pay for it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, speaking of being erect.
Inside, a game I referred to as the best controlling game I have ever played on this very podcast, is releasing, this is kind of strange, a collector's edition. And that game's been out for almost two years. They're releasing a collector's edition that costs $375. But it contains a mystery item that is made by sex doll manufacturer Real Doll, which we have also talked about on the show previously. Did either of you ever finish Inside?
No.
No, I didn't.
Okay, so I'm going to spoil the end of Inside for you. It's been long enough. If nobody wants to know what the end of Inside is about, turn off the podcast.
Yeah, skip ahead. I'll put the time code on it. So
just come back in like 60 seconds. I'm not going to talk about it that long. When you get to the end of that game, you're this little boy and you go through all these puzzles and stuff. And the very end of that game, the last thing that happens is you get absorbed into a giant fleshy ball. And it's got arms and legs sticking out of it in all directions. And it's just this mass of people. It's very like a Leviathan-esque thing. And you can control it in the game. You can walk, but it has like these weighted like it's like 12 feet tall. And there's arms and heads and bodies sticking out of it in all directions. And so when you go to the IAM8bit.com website, all that is shown of this Inside Collector's Edition is like a gift-wrapped box. But the image is an animated GIF of this human Cronenbergian blob thing running across on the wrapping paper. So we are led to only assume that sex doll manufacturer Real Doll will be manufacturing this blob thing for the collector's edition of Inside for $375. It also says, so the description on IM8bit is, IM8bit plus Playdead plus Real Doll are collaborating on a mysterious collector's edition for Inside. We will not tell you what it is. Maybe it's what you're thinking. Maybe not. We can confirm that there are several items included, one of which is a PlayStation 4 game disc. The rest is up for speculation. You can pre-order this. Once they release it, they will not be making any more, so they're satisfying pre-orders only, and they're not telling you what's in it until after it is out and you have paid for it. So you are making a $375 leap of faith that this is a giant arm ball that you can fuck, I guess.
I mean, maybe. See, I would think the Real Doll side of that collaboration is just the, like, mold, being able to create something that's fleshy from a mold thing.
Yeah, like this, I really want to see what this thing looks like.
Right, I am certainly not going to pay $400 for a hunch.
Yeah.
But I'm super curious what one of those is going to look like.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
I think that's... something Cronenbergian about it. Like, I almost picture the... If you ever saw Existenz, the little pod that they would manipulate... as they play their game.
Yeah. The very last thing on the bottom of the description for this, which is a very vague set of descriptors all the way down, says, FYI, this edition weighs a surprising amount. Hence, associated shipping fees and tariffs. So it ain't just $375. Like, there's shipping on top of that. So there's something substantial happening here. I am... really curious.
I like the fact that it's like, it definitely includes this.
Yeah.
Also other stuff.
Other things. And then the wrapping paper is just this perpetually running series of these blobs that's very, very gross. It's a real fucking highlight of that game. Like, if you have not played Inside and you have not seen this thing, it is worth your time to get to that point of the game. It is something.
I got to be close to the end. I should finish
it's
that up.
Man, it's really, really interesting. That, and literally that part of that game is what, like, clinched it for me on my control argument. When you start driving this multi-person beast around and it works, it is incredible. Inside.
Play it now.
Yep. Inside and Real Doll. Match made in heaven. Or hell. Probably most likely hell.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super curious what that thing is, but it's cool. I like unknown Cronenbergian horrors.
Mm-hmm. That's the news, man.
Excellent work. Well, folks, it's time to wrap things up. Before we do, we like to go around one final time and check in and see what everyone's going to be playing. Earlier, I used a complex algorithm to determine who would begin the final segment this evening. It came up, Justin McFerrin. What are you going to be playing in the coming couple of weeks?
Well, luckily, my friend Sean gifted me Far Cry 5 the other day, so that pops off, I believe it is in 2 weeks from when this is being recorded, so I'll hopefully get some of that in. Hopefully, I might try and burn through some of that Dying Light story and get to the expansion already, since it kind of seems like that's a pretty cool thing. And it opens up a lot more weapons and stuff. And then I downloaded Fortnite, so I'll probably give that a whirl.
All right. John.
Mm-hmm.
What will you be playing?
Dying Light with Justin, most likely. And whomever else we can scrape together for some zombie action. Sea of Thieves comes out in 7 days from the day we are recording this. And I want to see what that is before I throw my coin in there, but it looks real interesting.
I'm awfully curious about that game.
And then I picked up Echo and played just a little bit of it, and that is the one where you're in like this giant mansion, and your actions within the mansion are mimicked by clones of you in the mansion. And so if you start shooting your gun, they will eventually use guns. And if you jump over railings, they will learn to jump over railings. But there's a mechanic in it where, like, the lights turn out. And when it's dark in the mansion, it's like rebooting. And so during the darkness, you can do whatever you want and get away with things. And the mansion's not recording what you're doing. But when the mansion boots back up, all of the things that you were doing in the previous light time, these clones of you now mimic. And I just barely got into it. So I want to dig a little deeper and see what that is all about. It seems very promising. It's came out on Steam a couple weeks ago and I grabbed it cause it was on an early sale. But I just played maybe the first hour of it and was just kind of just starting to get into some of those weird mechanics. So I'm curious to dig a little deeper on that. And I'll try Fortnite out too. If that's a thing that happens.
Excellent. It sounds as though in the coming couple of weeks I will be playing some Dying Light, potentially some Fortnite. I don't know. I'm curious about Fortnite. I don't know.
Maybe I'll like know. It. Maybe I'll really like it. I don't know.
It's one of those things. Like I feel like I don't want to dismiss it too quickly because it might be more fun than I'm giving it credit for. So. That, and I'll probably finish up a playthrough of Bayonetta cause, I'm having a great time playing that. It's, as I mentioned earlier, it's kind of been my go-to game as I'm waiting for stuff to render and, it's been perfect for that and loads and loads of fun. I'm going to try to figure out a way that I can capture some of that and, with actual sound because, listening to that game is worth it. It's got a kind of a cool soundtrack.
A talkie.
Yeah, right? Instead of just me playing the Calliope under it.
Yeah, making sound effects.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Bayonetta. Hello. Hello.
Is that really what she sounds like?
Yeah. It's pretty dead on. Sexy. At any rate, folks, thanks so much for listening to the show. As ever, if you would, hop by sdfgaming.com, where this show and other things are there, including videos and whatnot. You can find us over on the Facebook groups/ Schadenfreude Gaming. What else? Oh, yeah. Wherever you happen to be downloading this show, if you would, leave us a rating review. It certainly helps us out. And as always, the best way you can help us, help you, help us, is to tell people you know about the show if you're enjoying it, if they're into video games, and also, you know, tangential discussions of Star Trek.
Politics.
Politics.
Sex.
Doing it.
I mean, masturbation specifically, but
waifu pillows.
I must have blacked out during tonight's show. I missed the waifu completely.
It's on the schedule for the next one.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I have time to prepare. Then I'll
get on
Amazon tonight and get some pillows.
Come to rehearsal once in a while, maybe. That's all I'm saying.
Busy.
Justin knew.
Stuff to do.
At any rate, folks, thanks so much for listening. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.